Welcome, everyone. Welcome to tonight's regular City Council meeting. It's Tuesday, February 28, 2017, and our meeting is starting at 6 o'clock. For the record, all members of Council are present. We do have a quorum, and we'll call the meeting to order. And starting off, if you all join us in a moment of silence, please. Thank you. And with that, we'll start off, if you'll join me, with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Ready to begin? I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moving on next, real quickly, I did receive some speaker slips. So we do have speaker slips in the back for public comment for items on the agenda. Items that are not on the agenda will open up for public comment. If there's items later on in the evening that you don't feel you might be able to stay for, please submit a speaker slip now, and we'll go ahead and you can do that during the regular public comment period. And with that, we're moving on to recognition. We have no recognition events tonight. Our closed session report, any reportable actions from closed session at this point? None?
There was none, so there's none to report.
And thank you. Thanks, Joe. And we'll start with council member reports and announcements. Red?
Hi, good evening, everyone. I'm going to have office hours again this coming Saturday on the Embarcadero from 9 o'clock until 10 o'clock. Anybody who wants to come and talk to me about anything. I'm going to make one small change, though. Instead of out at the giant chessboard, I'm going to go inside Sun and Buns, where it's nice and warm. And then after office hours at 10 o'clock, I'll walk up the bluff and visit some of the businesses downtown. 2 weeks ago, I visited several shops on the Embarcadero and heard that the most common questions that visitors ask are, what is there to do, where can I go, and where's the best seafood? So I invite you, come join me, have a cup of coffee. It's important that we support our local businesses. As we know, it's getting harder and harder to get to Morro Bay. So we need to hunker down and support one another and shop local. Thank you.
Thanks, Red. Matt?
Yes, the only thing I'd like to, not necessarily announce, but bring light, more light to, and that is specifically the dredging going on in the bay. And Eric, if you could explain the operations, maybe the time and how everything is going to be happening with the closure for the birds.
Sure, thank you, Councilman. So ATNA is the Corps of Engineers contractor that's doing the dredging right now. They're currently, as of March 1st, which is the beginning of the snowy plover nesting season, they got to remove their pipeline off of the state parks beach. We don't have any plover nesting habitat, so they don't have to take it off of ours, but still the disposal area is down on state parks property, so they have to remove it off. They're pulling that. They started disconnecting this afternoon. And pulling it down the beach and getting it off of Parks' property. They're going to tonight close down the road out to the rock starting about 7 o'clock and removing the passages over the pipe at Coleman Beach area, and then out also the going across the walkway across there. They're pulling all that away, and then they'll be putting the pipeline out to the near shore disposal area, which is off the sand spit, so it'll be underneath the bay as it is now. They're down on the south end of the bay, and the pipeline's down on the bottom. They'll be running it out the harbor entrance and disposing of it down at that end. And then they're scheduled right now to be done about the end of March. They've got about another day, maybe two, at the very south end of the harbor. They ran into some heavily compacted material at the south end. It's taken a little longer than expected. Then they move back off of Tidelands Park area to get finished up there, and then back towards the North T Pier to finish up what they're doing there. Then the remainder, the majority of the material they've got to remove now is at the off of the between the South Jetty and the inside groin jetty in the replacement area there. So that's where they'll be moving for the remainder of it. In the beginning of May, we're going to get the Corps of Engineers coming with the dredge ship Equina as well, so you'll be seeing them shortly after these folks leave.
Thank you. Appreciate it. That's all I have.
You're welcome.
Great, Matt. John?
Good evening, everyone. I'm not going to have office hours, but I'll be having a town hall at the end of March to be announced in the newspaper, Facebook, and in the called the Neighborhood app or Neighbor app. So look for that. Love to have you. It will be an open forum for about an hour and a half with about 15 minutes of information and then your questions. So thank you.
Great, great activity going on. Marlis.
Good evening, yes. Well, I'd like to just report that Sharon O'Leary, who is the director of the Community Resource Connections Office, reports that they held a very successful, what they call MASH, which is Mobile Assistance Serving Homeless, yesterday, February 27th, here at the Vets Hall. And it was very successful, and they had a lot of social service agencies here helping the homeless to find resources. There will be a meeting that is open to the public on March 6th, beginning at 6 o'clock p.m. at the South Bay Community Center. And the topic is the homeless in our area. And so it's free for anyone who would like to attend. You've got it too. All right. Very good. And the speaker will be Linda Quisenberry, who is the director of the new organization that is just 2 months old that is, serves the Los Osos area. And that program is modeled after the one here in Morro Bay. So I wanted to announce that. And lastly, the By the Sea Productions, that's our, of course, newest and only community theater, is closing its initial run this weekend. So if you want to see On Golden Pond, which is the show they're doing, you can get tickets online at bytheseaproductions.org. And I already bought my tickets, so hope to see you there. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. I don't have any announcements, so we'll move on.
Thunder.
No, that's okay. It worked out great. And with that, we'll move on to the announcements and move on. We don't have any presentations. Next on our agenda is public comment, and we do have a business spot. We're going to invite Cindy Edwards, our from Skin Stop, and our chamber president to do some introductions. And thanks.
Welcome. You, Mayor Irons, and council and staff. It's kind of strange to be coming and talking about my business. I actually do have a business here in Morro Bay. It's called the Skin Stop. I consider it an alternative skincare center. Essentially, I'm a licensed esthetician by trade. I am not your typical skincare person where you go and have a facial like you would at a resort. But I'm also not as invasive as a medical cosmetic practice where there's a doctor and RNs on staff. Those are typically where you would have injectables like Botox, fillers, laser resurfacing. Not going to go into too much detail about that. But essentially, I offer alternative treatments to that. One of my most popular is called Microcurrent. It's muscle reeducation, basically a lifting of the brow area, the cheeks, the neck. This is something that is a very great treatment as we get older and something that most men and women, believe it or not, are concerned about. I do what are called stackables. So I have several core treatments that you can add different treatments onto. And so that is definitely Microcurrent and wet microdermabrasion is one of my most popular here. I've been in business for almost 8 years now. I've been come with a wealth of experience. I am a former educator for several world-renowned skincare companies, one of which is Dermalogica. So I actually taught other estheticians to do skincare. And so you have somebody who is highly experienced right here in town. And that's kind of exciting. One of my other most important things about my business is that I don't look at skincare as being a luxury. I make my prices very affordable. Most of my treatment is starting at $75, which might be expensive to most, but considering the treatments that I do, would probably be between $100 to $200 in any larger city. So that's pretty exciting. I think something really important, too, considering where we live, most of us are eating organic, we're working out, we're very physical in outdoor activities, and I think it's important to have another set of eyes paying attention to your skin on your face and your body, and it's very difficult to get in to see dermatologists, so you can kind of look at me as that as well. So if you're interested, I offer complimentary consultations. My number is 805-459-3792, and hopefully look forward to seeing your skin real soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Cindy. And with that, we open it up public comment. I only have two speaker slips for public comment, and then I have a speaker slip for item C1 later on in the agenda. So was the item for C1, did you want to speak at public comment, or did you want to wait for that item? I just want to make sure. Because you're going to wait? Okay. She wants to go for it now. Okay. All right. We're going to open up for general public comment. Liz Moore. Welcome, Liz.
Hello. Thank you for letting me speak. My name is Liz Moore, and I've been a teacher at Morro Bay High School for about 15 years. I'm in a new position that focuses on partnering business with education for the purpose of getting the students ready to work. There's been a great push in the state and funding coming down, and so we're working on opportunities for that. I'm here tonight to tell you about our Just One Summer Job Fair. It will be held at Morro Bay High School on April 11th. It will serve San Luis High School, Coast Union High School, and Morro Bay High students. We're looking to partner with businesses in the community to come and interact and interview students with the intent of hiring just one for the summer. We have found that this is a really teachable way for students to learn some of the things they need to know about work, for work skills. For instance, if you were interviewing a student, you might say, if the introduction didn't go very well, you might say, let's try that again. Take that hat off. Give me a good handshake. And then afterwards say, that was much better. We're finding that as teachers, we're telling the students this, you know, maybe day after day. And they hear us, but they really react to the business people that come into the classrooms or to these job fairs and reinforce the teaching. So that's what we're looking for. We're looking for partners from the community to come in and reinforce these business skills so students will be ready for the world of work. And there's other ways to partner. And if you needed to contact me, Liz Moore, LMoore at slcusd.org. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Liz. Next, Rigmore, followed by Rigmore, is Carrie Heller for item C1.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, City Council. My name is Rigmore, a Morro Bay resident. First, I want Mr. Leivik to say thank you, thank you, thank you, and he's the only one that knows what I'm thanking him for. Anyway, and then I want to thank you all for allowing us to air our opinions in front of you. So here I go. Since California already loves to tax their people, I would prefer that more of that tax money come to Morro Bay, since we need more revenue so us residents can get more of what we want. Therefore, I advocate for a medical marijuana dispensary be allowed in Morro Bay, instead of the revenue going to cities nearby. Those who do need medical marijuana will get it somewhere. I am no expert on marijuana. I have never smoked it or tried any of its products. I was too old when marijuana became a cool thing to do, and was from the generation before that, when smoking cigarettes was the cool thing to do. And I still smoke cigarettes, even if now it is far from being cool. But If I ever became in pain, I would definitely try out marijuana rather than other drugs like oxycodone, liquor, and other stuff. My best girlfriend in Norway has suffered from multiple sclerosis and severe headaches since she was young. Medical marijuana has been her lifesaver. Seems to me that whether your doctor prescribes that or some other drug should not be much of a different issue. Regarding the two businesses who want their trash collectors' receptacles placed in our beautiful Embarcadero area, I'm totally against that. The city is already ruining the area by the stairs below Surf Street with all their storage junk. Lots of our tourists and residents use those stairs, take pictures from the Surf Street Bluff, and gather up there at parades, Christmas boat parades, etc. All areas close to our bay, beaches, and estuaries, in my opinion, are the pearls of Morro Bay, and we should only allow whatever will further improve our most valuable land area. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Rigmore. Carrie Heller. So you're speaking to C1, is that right? Okay, great. Welcome.
Good evening. My name is Carrie Heller. I'm here on behalf of my husband, Jeff Heller, who is away on business, and asked me to come up and talk on his behalf.
Welcome.
This is about item C1, the water reclamation facility. It's a mouthful to say. Jeff says, I read Ron Reisner's letter and agree to some extent with his sentiments, though I do not know Mr. Reisner. The WRF project, as we all know, will have an enormous positive impact on the city by replacing aging infrastructure. I fully support the project concept and need. However, the project also has a potential to have a long-lasting negative financial impact on the city. While we tend to focus on the hard costs, of construction, the soft costs of major projects are often not given the same level of scrutiny, probably because they are not as easy to define or quantify. My professional background includes many years of working for international consulting firms on a variety of projects, and I would like to share my thoughts with you regarding this particular subject. I believe our WRF project will definitely need some level of professional support, but how much support is reasonably needed? Do we need to retain an international firm? Or would a smaller local firm be adequate? Is it conceivable we could retain experienced retired professionals from the region? How much is the city exposed if a large firm is not retained for the WRF? I assume all of these options and more have been discussed by the folks involved with the major project. Unfortunately, even though I am on the GPAC, I have little knowledge of what actually has been discussed or considered by the city for this project. So I can only hope and assume that the city has or will consider all options prior to committing funds for professional consulting firms on this or any city project. If interested, I would be willing to volunteer some of my time to discuss this topic further. Again, thank you, Mayor, Council members, and city staff, for the many, many hours of you devote to making our little city by the bay even better place to live. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Carrie. That's all I have for speaker slips, so I'll close public comment and bring it back to council. And then just real quickly, I just wonder if we can respond to the part about C1. I know we're going to get to that, but you know, as far as the contractors, the selection of our contractor, that process started some time ago, and it maybe you could just, you know, talk through that process real quickly since it was public comment, how we got there, and then maybe just the portion of the contract as we have it on the agenda.
The program management consultant process started in, selection started in 2015 with an RFP. MKN and Associates, a medium-sized, I wouldn't say large, firm, headquartered in the city of Arroyo Grande, was the winning proposer on that project for a multi-year, multi-phased contract. So with the idea that they would be coming back to council on about an annual basis to receive task orders for the next phases of that contract.
Great. Thanks. Any other comments from public comment from council or anything? Seeing none, we'll move on. Thank you for that. And next item on the agenda is our is our consent calendar. We have 15 items on consent. Just want to see what items would like to be pulled. I'm looking to my right to start off. I see the green light with John. If we want to start first.
Sure. I would like to pull item number A11.
A11. Marlis?
I would also like to pull A11, so that's good.
Okay.
And then I would also like to pull A4 and A12.
Okay. Look at us go. Matt?
I'd like to pull item A9, sorry.
A9? We're really going here. And
A6.
A6. Okay, so let's see what we got here. I see A4. I see A11, pardon me. A12. A9. A6. Okay, I was going to pull A7. Yeah, A7. So red, you've got A6. Jamie's got A7. All right, look at us go. And with that, I would take a motion to approve all items on consent with the exception of items A11, A4, A12, A9, A6, and A7.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Heading, second by Mr. Davis. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Motion carries. 5-0. John, A11? Yeah. Sorry, I'm just going to jump in order which
sure.
You were called.
Item A11 is the agenda for the California Marine Affairs and Navigation Conference. I just wanted to thank the mayor, Mr. Buckingham, and Eric for once again going and advocating for us. I especially appreciate the letters that were written in anticipation of that. I think it's very important when you go to visit elected officials that you go prepared with good information, and I appreciate the time and effort that you're taking to do that. I'm very positively affirm moving forward with that, and just wanted to make those comments of thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Add a comment to that, please.
Sure.
John, I totally agree with you, and given Eric's explanation during comment period about the dredging operations, there's no way that we could afford as a city the dredging operations now and what's going to be happening in May without going to CMEG. So you're absolutely right, John, to bring that out.
Okay. All right, and I have for A11, Marlis, you had pulled that as well. Any comments?
I did. I just wanted to ask if the council has already taken a position on the fisheries. I noticed that you are going to be talking to them about how the ITQ system affects us. And I'm just wondering if the council has actually taken a position on that.
That's a great question. I think it's laid out in the staff report to have that discussion. I think there's some historic, and I'll look to Eric to kind of speak to that, but we've, just a little background on this. only but a couple of years ago, we weren't bringing this item on agenda. We would go, we would report back, and we really didn't have the CMANC agenda and what were the things we're working, the letters and stuff. So, you know, pleased to have that as a discussion item. The particular fishing items, you know, and the letters kind of speak to a host of things, which is, I think, is important that we understand if we're going back there, what is our message. So, Eric, you just want to, maybe you can respond to the ITQ question and some of those things.
Sure, and if you could give me your question again, I didn't quite.
Well,
I got the here going over here. It's pretty
loud.
It
said that you were going to be talking about the burden placed by the transferable quota system on our fishermen, and I'm just wondering if this has been discussed by council or if this is basically in response to issues that our fishermen have brought up, and that's why we're talking to folks about it.
So I think. So the Community Quota Fund is, you know, an independent from the city operation that deals with the fishery, the groundfish fishery. And so while we as a department and we as a city support it, it operates independently. I sit on the board of directors for that. But we do take that back to Washington, D.C., and talk to NOAA Fisheries and the fishery management folks in D.C. and bring them what we believe the problems are that need to be addressed and see if they can bring some changes to those problems. But in general, it's more so the Community Quota Fund that manages it.
Okay. And actually the same question then on marine sanctuaries. Since the intent is to talk with people about the Chumash Heritage National Marine Sanctuary nomination, mm-hmm. With the primary topic of consideration being concerns with sanctuary governance. And I'm just wondering if the council has addressed this issue or if it's consistent with actions we've taken previously.
Yeah.
Or
these are great questions, Marla. So basically we have the operating that we are the marine sanctuary that we're operating under a standing resolution that, you know, past council and this council, and not to say that we couldn't, but haven't taken any action on other than that. So basically kind of stand towards the intent of that resolution. You know, as far as the fisheries go, great question. In fact, I think as a result of all these types of things, as far as the ITQ and as we're going through, I think it'd be very appropriate for us to, task, our harbor advisory boards to have that discussion, bring back some recommendations on, and to council, so we can take that position. Other than, what we're looking at here, I would say, and forgive me for responding and speaking towards this, because I feel as though when I go back, I do represent the city and this council, so I don't want to stray afar from what the intent of council. So this is a great conversation, but I think we've been pretty consistent over the years. The purpose, CMANC for our dredging funds, that's what we go back for. We always take the opportunity to highlight the city and whatever that may affect it, and we touch bases with fisheries. I think one of the questions on fisheries, electronic fishing monitoring. There's different things we'll consistently ask. Okay, so how are we going to continue doing the live monitoring on this? And those are things that we could probably take on a little bit more specific level. But that's a flavor of it, and
Well, and part of it is that, as a new council member, I'm just trying to catch up on my background on all of these issues and trying to understand what previous councils may or may not have done. So
yeah.
That was really the motivation for my question. And thank you for answering it. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
And I think it's a wonderful thing that you're doing.
Yeah. Well, it's on behalf of the city for sure. And like I say, that's why a couple years ago, as we were doing this, it was like, let's put this stuff on the agenda and have this up front before we go, so we we have that discussion, and then we can have these kind of conversations. And if there's other comments or discussions on specific positions that we need to take, then we can have those as well. Okay.
Thank you.
And just on a quick note, probably just worthwhile something I'll be thinking about is perhaps bringing this back maybe a little bit sooner in case we do want to have a discussion item. We can do that. It's been on consent, probably just kind of as a practice thing, but it doesn't necessarily have to be. Okay. So A11, do you want to approve these guys as we go?
I would move that we approve A11.
Okay. So we have a motion by Ms. McPherson, a second by Mr. Makowetsky on A11 for a motion to approve. And any further comments, further discussion, read or anything? No? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? None. Motion carries 5-0. Thanks. And then next on the item would be, Marlos, would be A4?
Right. That is the adoption of city goals and program objectives. And I know it was our intention, and we hope to simply do it on consent. And I do apologize to Mr. Buckingham for raising this issue at this point in time. But as I looked very carefully through this and read it, I had some concerns specifically about goal number one, which is the increasing our fiscal sustainability and our revenue. And I think what concerned me was that we have really got a very large number of activities here. And I'm concerned that perhaps the council hasn't given sufficient direction to priorities in this area. And especially given that we have not seen the Economic Development Strategic Plan at this point, which is sort of would drive a lot of what these activities are, and especially after the presentation that we saw today, where we understand that each one of these might provide a different or better opportunity to raise money for the city or to save money for the city. And so I'm just wondering if we could possibly go through another iteration of just this goal in some kind of a work session, just to make sure that we understand what these options are and that we could give staff some direction on the priorities among all of these in terms of moving forward with them. I just believe that we need to make sure that our economic development opportunities, the ones that we pursue, are consistent with our community's vision and values. And I think the council needs to perhaps provide more oversight of what those things may be and just a bit more direction to staff. So okay. That's my concern.
Okay. Any further comments? John?
I do concur. Especially after this evening, hearing the presentation that we did from our financial consultant. However, my thought is that the development of the objectives will begin to define each of these in significant detail. And I'm wondering if involvement in that specific process would allow us to achieve the same end of the means that you're speaking about, as opposed to rehashing the agreed upon, or not agreed upon yet, but soon to be agreed upon possibly, objectives. And so could we ask that the specific steps within each objective related be brought to us and discussed and prioritized? Would that satisfy that need? Or are you looking to reprioritize and restate the actual goal and or the items that are listed here as objectives?
Well, I think there's a lot of them. It's to me this plate is full if you look at this, and I'm thinking that we just need to be more directive about which ones to perhaps pursue first or which ones provide the best return on our investment of staff time. And some discussion of that where we actually get some of that information would be helpful to me, because this is a lot to accomplish in a
fiscal year
period of time.
Yeah.
And it's broad. They're pretty broad. Some are more specific, but some are pretty broad.
Yeah. Any comments to my left, Matt or Red?
Yeah, I would support Marlis's request for a work session to drill down on some of these in light of of our 10-year budget forecast.
Okay. So we have general support. Morris, I would offer that support as well. So to circle back to this, at this point, I'm not sure we necessarily need to approve everything and then except for that. So we could probably just continue this item and then focus on a work session on goal number one and then come back and then approve everything at once. Seems logical. I did come up with a couple of comments on one, so I don't know if I need to get into that now. I think we'd be afforded the opportunity, during kind of open discussion to do that. I just had one particular discussion on goal number four. It was just a line item there that kind of relates with goal number one and kind of transferring some language. So, if we have that opportunity during a workshop to just kind of just revisit some of those things and tighten that up a little bit, I think we can accomplish that. We were looking at possibly a thin council meeting in 2 weeks to what could be pretty full, but I think we could probably get through this if we do our homework ahead of time and think through that.
And I honestly think it would be very helpful if it were combined with the session that we were just talking about, where we plug in some alternative numbers and see what the consequences are for economic development, because that would be very helpful in prioritizing some of these activities, if we could make some projections of exactly what the benefit would be and how much staff time would be associated with trying to accomplish that. It would help to prioritize these in such a way that we went after the ones that were, most likely to be successful and to bring in the most revenue in the near future. So that's behind my...
Okay. Yeah. All right. Any further comments? So it seems like we can continue this and maybe combine it with our discussion coming up in 2 weeks.
You recommend you just continue it?
Mm-hmm.
And then we can sort through what the best way to address it is, because I sort of heard two things. One, I heard a workshop, which is a little more conducive to around the table and having a discussion and a back and forth, which may not be fit nicely in the council meeting format in 2 weeks. So,
sure.
So recommend you just continue it, and we can work through how we address it.
Okay.
Just this one item? Can we approve the others?
I guess that's what I was saying.
That's what I was thinking.
Actually, what I was saying was just, let's just go ahead and have the discussion and then come back. We'll approve the whole thing at once. There was one item in the back, some language that I started looking at, and I thought, if we're going to continue this, we can maybe just have that discussion and then everybody be able to do it as well. Is everybody okay with that? We got consensus? Okay. Item A4, I'll just take a motion to continue this item.
So moved.
So we have a motion.
Second.
And a second motion by Morrow, second by Mr. Heading. So the motion to continue this item will to our next city council meeting and more of a discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? None. Motion carries 5-0. Okay. And then item A12.
Is that me?
That's you, Marlis.
Okay. I believe that was...
That's the aquarium.
Oh, yes. Yeah. The approval of the extension for the Central Coast Aquarium consent. And I did submit a question to Mr. Buckingham and also to Mr. Endersby earlier, and received a very competent answer back. My question had to do with what steps were being taken to raise the money for the feasibility study. And so I just wanted the opportunity for them to explain the response to that, because I know there was some community concern about it.
Sure, thanks. We had a great meeting with reps from the Central Coast Aquarium last Friday, and Mayor Irons and Council Member Heading participated in that meeting as members of the Council Subcommittee, so this won't be news to them. What we heard is consistent with everything, all the discussions that Eric and I have had with them over the last year, and that is that they essentially received pre-approval from the USDA for this substantial loan. They received that pre-approval in early December, and that the USDA's sort of one requirement before granting full approval and granting a loan was for them to do a feasibility study. They effectively did not. So the question was, how long have they been trying to raise $40,000? They waited for the end of the holidays, and then they've been at it for about 5 weeks. They've raised $20,000 to $40,000. Last year, they raised $200,000 for the aquarium. They don't anticipate – I'm sorry, $400,000. Thank you. They raised $400,000. They don't anticipate any issues raising the additional $20,000, and they're not concerned at all that I don't think anybody should be concerned that they have only raised $20,000 in 5 weeks. They're a nonprofit. They don't have a big giant bank account, and they are quite confident they'll be able to raise the additional money for the feasibility study in a reasonable period of time.
Thank you.
Okay, you know, you bring up a good point. I think there's two things. Since Mr. Heading and I did meet as the subcommittee, it would have been appropriate for us to report that out during announcements. That's one of the things on our announcements, as you know, as we're working through items as a subcommittee or as liaisons or some of our items. So, Marlos, I apologize we didn't have that discussion and report out, but we got to it. So, good reminder. Thank you. So, item.
Should we approve that
then? Sure. Item A12. I take a motion to approve.
I move we approve item A12.
Second.
So we have a motion by Ms. McPherson, second by John, Mr. Heading. And with that, any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? None. Motion carries 5-0. Okay, so now Matt, A9.
Dave, I pulled this item just because I wanted you to be able to speak to it quickly, because I thought it was pretty much of a slam dunk of to approve, but I think a little bit of little PR from you to explain to people what's going to happen on this, if you could.
Sure, I'll probably ask Rob to fill in some of the gaps on the grant itself, but this is fairly, fairly routine. Often there's requirements on grants, sometimes to apply for the grant and almost always to accept the grant, that the city formally do that. And this is we'll see these regularly for the council to authorize me to accept a grant. And in this case, this is a grant partially from SLOCOG that already is identified to go to the city for our transit program, and simply all we need to do is sign for it, and then it will come to supplement our transit program as we get every year. So, I get that right, Rob?
Pretty close. So we're actually purchasing a vehicle with this, so a replacement Morro Bay Transit vehicle or bus. And it's funded through the rural transit funds, the 53 of 11 funds, which the city gets through application every year. It's $81,000 for this new vehicle. We made application last April and were awarded last April, and now it's time to purchase the vehicle. So we need council authorization for Mr. Buckingham to execute those documents.
Perfect. Thank you, Rob. That's kind of what I wanted. There's a lot of folks in town that Morro Bay Transit is very important to, and then to understand that they're going to be getting a new vehicle. This is just good for people to understand that it's coming. So thank you very much. And with that, I would move to accept this item.
We have a motion to approve item A9. Mm-hmm.
Second.
And a motion and a second. Motion by Mr. Makowetsky, second by Mr. Heading. Any further discussion? None. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Motion carries 5-0. Thanks, Matt. And then item A6, Red?
Yeah. This is the trash dumpsters on the Embarcadero. And I share Rigmore's concern. I went down this morning and looked at the area. And I guess my general question, just to start off, is where do we plan to go with this? We have, I think, 8 dumpsters in that area already that belong to GAFCO and Harbor Hut. And now, and I understand that they are city lessees. So I guess we're partnering with them for their trash. In this case, we're helping a private business. And the Embarcadero space is valuable space, and it's scenic, and I'm just wondering where we're going with storage of trash dumpsters.
I'm going to defer to Rob and or Eric on this, probably both.
The dumpsters that are over there for GAFCO and Harbor Hut were displaced with the Harbor Walk construction project, so we it's not the most optimal space, but it's near our lift station and a little bit out of the way. The newest location serves the Bayfront Inn and Frankie and Lola's. Mm-hmm. That dumpster has been located kind of under the tree for mm-hmm. as long as I can remember. And there may even be a lease site back there that was leased in the past to... This came out in a discussion on another subject with Eric yesterday. So it's that dumpster has been there for a long time. The applicant, I think, is here in the audience, and he can speak to the reason why they can't have it on there. There's no room on their property to have this dumpster. They made application to the city for use of the property, and were bringing this license agreement forward. Of course, council always has the ability to reject that license agreement, and the applicant would be required to find a suitable location on their property for their trash receptacles.
Okay, and I guess that's what my concern is this applicant comes forward and we approve it, and then some other applicants come forward and we approve it. I mean, where do we stop?
It's on a case-by-case basis. It's up to I don't see any other errant dumpsters around town that are looking for a home. I think this is a fairly rare occurrence. And I guess it's not a real big change from what's existed out there for many, many years with the dumpster being under the tree location.
Okay. The specific location, there is a kind of a view, a scenic corridor between the harbor yard and the dumpster location for GAFCO and the Harbor Hut. And there's a beautiful tree back there. Are we going to block that view with these dumpsters? Or are you going to find a place that's less obtrusive than that? It looked like on the attachment in the staff report that you were going to block that view.
A view from where are we viewing from?
Looking north from the parking lot, if you're standing at the entrance to the Harbor Corp yard next to the restroom. You look north toward the plant. Between the Corp yard and the GAFCO dumpsters, there's a narrow view shed of just a gorgeous eucalyptus tree. Or could I cut it short? Could we specify that we don't block that view?
Yes.
Okay. And then I have a concern about paragraph 10, reimbursement of installation costs if the lease is...
What page, Red?
Pardon?
Just what page?
Oh, page 5.
Okay, thanks.
Sorry.
Just want to keep up with you.
Okay. Temporary license agreement for use of public property, paragraph 10, reimbursement of installation costs. And what we're saying is that the second half, if the city terminates the agreement without cause, the city shall reimburse licensee for the cost that the licensee incurred in building a little enclosure around
with
the dumpsters.
3 years. Is that within 3 years?
Yeah. And I'd like to strike that clause. I would just like to say that if they build it, they take it down.
Okay.
think the intent here is for the city to say that if we terminate this agreement, mm-hmm. And they've invested $1,000 to build a fence, mm-hmm. An enclosure, and mm-hmm. next month we decide that we don't want that there at all, mm-hmm. that we would have to compensate them for their installation of that enclosure.
And I guess I'm saying that we are already granting them a piece of property for $15 a year, a piece of public property, and we're requiring them to build an enclosure so that it's not ugly, and that's just part of the term.
So just take... I don't want to get ahead of the whole council, just so I understand. You're asking the council to consider essentially telling the applicant that that if we decide, not that we would do this, but if we decide next month that we want to terminate this agreement and they just put up a $1,000 fence, then they're out $1,000, which is, just want to make that clear. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes.
So I guess conversely, if we're discussing this, then so basically what we need to discuss is whether or not we all agree with that. And you know, in saying that, I guess it lends itself to, even if we get beyond the 3 years, if the contract is terminated, then the applicant takes the screen down, mm-hmm. is what you're getting at.
Mm-hmm.
So even if there wasn't a clause in here that this particular clause on, you know, how it's compensated, it seems reasonable that, hey, if it's terminated at the end of 3 years, then the request from you is, hey, you remove it.
Yes, that's okay. Correct. Yeah.
Okay, so remove it at any point when the contract is terminated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any further discussion on that?
I think that sounds fair and logical. I mean, they've been there for umpteen amounts of years, and so let's hope that they're going to go forward. But however, Red's point is, I support that in terms of them being responsible for the taking off.
Sure. Okay. John, Marlis, any comments? Marlis?
I don't have any.
Agreements, disagreements? Support?
I can support it?
Okay, good.
Yeah, I support it.
Okay, all right. So we can get support on that particular one. So it seems as though we'd probably have to come back with this. There'd be some conversations on how we want to do this. And I guess the other question would be that...
I just want to confirm. I really heard two things. One is to strike the language that says the city will compensate them for their cost of putting up a fence. The second is to add language that says whenever the contract is terminated, even if it's in 10 years, they're responsible for taking down the fence.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's already language to cover that part, Joe says.
Okay.
Maybe somewhere
all
else.
All right. Good. Paragraph 9. Okay, good.
So I think the council can... Go ahead.
So if there's a motion to basically remove that provision in paragraph 10 that talks about the reimbursement, you could do that by just directing us to remove that and
approve it if they agree to it.
You may want to ask if the person who wants the license is here, you may want to ask them
okay.
whether or not they agree to that.
Okay, we'll do that. And I just have one quick question since we're opening this up. So this so obviously this can be terminated any time. You know, at any time, you know, the site were to be, you know, developed or redeveloped or added onto or any kind of, would that trigger any requirement that they be able to maintain, trash enclosures on the site? How would we be able to link that? I'm looking at Scott or yeah. Sorry, Scott. I didn't say Scott, but my eyes were looking at you. So thanks.
I mean, I think right now they're here because they don't have a means by which to do that. So they'd have to come up with a way to address their trash issues.
Yeah.
I mean, so I don't know what that would be. I mean, this is the solution right now because there are others that utilize this area. I think they just looked and said, well, that would be the area where we want to do it, and so that's why it's in front of you.
I guess to what Red is saying is that, you know, at what point, where do we go with this? And that this isn't necessarily, you know, if there were to be improvements to the site, this just isn't an open ticket to not be able to look at how those things are addressed.
I think ideally the way this works is as lease sites redevelop, they accommodate
their... This isn't a lease site, though.
As lease sites redevelop, they accommodate their trash on their own site. Oh, this isn't a lease site, though. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah. So
I think the same thing holds true. If this property were to redevelop, have a significant mm-hmm. remodel, let's say in excess of 50%, which is typically a trigger for many other things, I think we would look for them to incorporate their trash onto their site and terminate this agreement at that same time.
In addition, because you have the agreement allows you to terminate this in 30 days with or without cause, if the city says to the person who wants to redevelop their property, you better include a trash enclosure because when you're done, we're going to rescind you to terminate this.
And we just need to memorialize it, really. I mean, is what I guess I'm, you know, understanding that we understand that this is out there. But
30 days with or without cause is pretty specific, saying you can get rid of it anytime you want.
Okay, all right.
And to the broader question of where are we going with this, for any other private developments, redevelopments, that's one of the things that we look at in the planning process is to make sure that they are taking care of their own trash. This is sort of an exceptional situation since it's been there for years, and now we're trying to get it formalized.
Okay. All right.
I would not anticipate that staff would ever bring you a recommendation to allow any development and say, oh, by the way, the trash for this development is going to be on public property.
Right. Okay. So would the applicant want to come up and speak to this, or are you okay with some of the comments that have been made? Okay. I'll open up public comment. Please come on up. Thank you.
Mayor, council members, and staff, I'm Peter Beeman. I'm involved with the Bayfront Inn, and then Frankie and Lola's restaurant is our tenant. We don't operate it. The real issue here, the real problem is, this is a building that was built in the early 1960s, and in that time really hasn't had any substantial renovation other than the rebuilding of the restaurant building. If you've ever looked at this property, there just physically isn't any place on it in its current configuration to place these couple of trash dumpsters. So that's kind of the problem. And it's been a situation since we became involved with the property probably over 9 years ago. So regarding the costs, you know, if we're only there for a month, the enclosure is going to cost something closer to about $3,000, not $1,000. I talked to the people at the fence factory, and that's what they tell me. So to only be there for a month or 6 months and not be able to amortize that cost, that sort of doesn't make any sense. If we could be talking about at least a minimal period of time that, you know, maybe 3 years or something like that, so we can at least amortize this cost over a period of time. And also, as far as one of the gentlemen said that, well, it's nominal anyway, but it's $15 a month, which was a figure that the city came up with. We didn't come up with it. But, you know, the city has provided areas for other private businesses, as you mentioned, GAFCO and Harbor Hut. And true, they're on leased property, but they're private enterprises. And I think when the building does undergo a complete renovation, sure, we're going to have to provide for a place for these things to be placed on site. But if you just physically look at the property, there isn't any place to do it. And I guess in closing, it's a hotel, which is important to this town, and to take our little patio where folks can sit out and look out at the view, and to put a couple of trash dumpsters there, that's, I don't know how that's going to work. So we're kind of in a real predicament here, and we're just asking for a little help from the city. Those dumpsters have been out there for as long as we've been involved with the property, and I guess they'll just stay there for a while longer. I mean, I don't know what we do. So are there any questions, or can I?
I think we're good. Rad, did you want to?
How would you feel about a one-year amortization? I want to say that I do want to support the business and I want to help you, but I also feel as if we are doing your business a favor by allowing you to use public property, and I would not want the city to bear the cost of taking down your enclosure.
Okay. Well, thank you. Well, I think it sounded like there were two things there. As far as the cost of, let's take the second one first, as far as the cost of taking down the enclosure at the time that the arrangement was terminated, that sounds reasonable. I don't see that there's any issue with that. I think if we put it up, we should take it down. So, I mean, that sounds okay. But, you know, a cost of probably something in the range of $3,000 over a year's time. Possibly we could think of something a little more liberal to give us an opportunity to make that back that money. Not to mention that the hotel business is down right now. In case you don't realize that with what's going on with the weather and Highway 1 closures and so on and so forth. So it's not a great time to be dipping in our pocket anyway, frankly. But I think it would be equitable to see a longer period of time to earn back the, to amortize the cost.
I'd like to hear from others on
okay.
this.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks.
So... discussion. I think we're pretty clear on the removal of the item. I think maybe your point is, for one thing, I don't know if we would necessarily, at this point, after so many years, ask to have it removed. At this point, within a 3-year period. So, for some extenuating circumstances, maybe. But I guess to your point is, if you're allowing that, then we have to make a compensation to have it torn down. Why would we have to, to do that if we're providing the space in the arrangement? Is that's kind of your point?
Well, that's the way I'm reading paragraph 10, that if we terminate the agreement without cause, then we reimburse the licensee for the cost of putting up the...
Yeah.
And it's based on a 5-year amortization period currently.
Yeah. And so I proposed a 1-year amortization to Mr. Beeman rather than the 5-year amortization. And he asked for something a little longer. So I'm just asking for some opinions from the rest of the council.
Yeah, I'm either way, I'm looking to my right as well. I think we can kind of... conclude this. I agree with you. If for some reason we wanted to have that removed, why would we? And if it was $3,000, we have to pay $3,000 to get it moved, out of our pocket as well. And he's, obviously you're thinking the same thing. Hey, we're putting that up. But I could, I'm open to kind of the 1-year amortization that you discussed as well, John.
I was just going to make a comment that I think. What Mr. Davis says is very reasonable in terms of the lessee bearing the cost to tear down. If he's made to do that, or the entity is made to do that. We could compromise by, instead of 5 years or 1 year, by a 3-year amortization. And if we could agree to that, we could move on, if that would work.
Sure.
Okay, cool.
All right, we get a head nod. So we're looking at 3-year amortization. Is that enough? Is that enough to conclude this? And as I'm looking towards, okay, good.
It's thanks, enough. John. We just need to.
So we'll make a motion to approve this agreement with the
those
stated,
suggested changes, and staff will then change the agreement before we have it signed.
Okay.
So moved.
All right. So we have a motion to approve the agreement with the discussed changes. Period.
Okay. Second.
So the motion was by Mr. Heading, second by Ms. McPherson. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Motion carries 5-0. Thank you. And then last item, A7. A7. Amending council policies and procedures. I just wanted to, I'm just going to make a motion to bifurcate this one. There's two parts of this for me, and then we can have discussion on it. So I would make a motion to approve the resolution with the exception of item 2, and then we can make a discussion on whether or not council wants to go further than that. I would just make a motion to approve the resolution as written with the exception of item 2 for discussion. So I
3.132?
So, page 46, A7, the resolution 0717, 3.13, we have paragraph 1 and paragraph 2. So my motion is to approve the resolution, but strike item 2 with discussion.
So I'd support that.
Okay, so we have a motion to approve the resolution, striking item number 2 with discussion. And then I'll just go into my discussion. Whether or not there's support, we'll see where we go. Made some comments when we first initially discussed this. And I've done some outreach as far as some of our other mayors and talked to them about how other cities are doing this. And, in fact, actually, there's a mayor's meeting this Friday, which when I attend, I was going to have a more robust discussion on this. But the one response I got was this isn't a normal practice in which their city takes part in, and it wasn't something that I was in support of. I think there are some things that were interesting in this in that, as an example, as we look to pair a council member up with a particular item, one, in fact, is on this agenda for the Ferguson report. As a subcommittee member for the WRF, it would be appropriate if we wanted to do that. Conversely, you know, other cities may, when they do their liaison assignments, as an example, there's a harbor discussion. You know, maybe the liaison for that particular topic might be invited to that discussion. Maybe there was a water or a tourism issue that came up to the city, then perhaps that liaison person would be the person that would be involved. But the other thing that was interesting, never under any circumstances were two persons invited to these discussions. That's the feedback I got, but I was more interested in hearing what the rest of the mayors had to say this Friday. But at this point, I wanted to express that, and that was my motion, and that was my comment. So any further discussion, just willing to go there with that.
I would be willing to approve it absent item 2 until we get feedback with regard to your discussion with the other mayors, and then bring it back and hear what the input is.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Okay. So... All right, so we have caution. So basically the motion stands, and so I'll call the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Mayor,
aye.
Mr. Mayor, before you vote, what, to make it easier on the process, mm-hmm. why don't you just continue this resolution, have your discussion, then you come back with the final resolution without having to think about coming back?
Either or?
It's your option.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Any discussion on that? I mean, we kind of got through it on this point.
I like that idea, in part because I haven't thought about this issue, and I would like to think about it.
Okay.
So
we've made a motion. We've called a motion. So we would like to restate a motion to continue the item.
Yeah, you're going to withdraw your motion. The seconds are going to withdraw, and a new motion is going to be made.
Okay. Anybody wish to withdraw this motion then? So to withdraw my motion, I'd need a second.
I'll withdraw my second.
Okay. How's that? So we have a withdrawal and a withdraw my second. Okay. Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. To continue.
I move we continue this item.
Okay.
Second.
So we have a motion and a second to continue the item. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Motion carries 5-0. So that item would be continued. And then we'll move on. I think that concludes our consent. And with that, we can call a short recess before we get on to item C1, if that would be the preference of council. Okay? So we'll take a 5-minute recess, and we'll be back at 5:15 or so, and then we'll pick up where we left off. All right. Thanks.
Yep. I know, he'll be right there. Okay, GP, I think we're ready. Ready to roll. Okay, thank you. Thanks, everyone. Moving on with the first business item for the evening. This is item C1. Subject of this is approve the annual contract authorization for program management services for the water reclamation facilities contemplated by the agreement between the city and Michael K. Nunley and Associates. Dave, you going to start off on this, or should I turn this over to Rob?
We're going to turn straight over to Rob.
There you go.
I have a very brief presentation on this item. First, I want to point out on the
fiscal impacts section. I did not change the dollar amount. I have $1,262,794 for the total cost of the contract. That was revised to $1,248,766, and that's as stated in the revised proposal. On January 24th, council meeting, we brought this item forward on consent. Council asked to have this item presented at a work session. On February 21st, at the work session, council had a robust and open discussion regarding the proposed amendment and project management, and staff recommends that city council authorize the city manager to execute amendment to the WERF program management contract with MKN and Associates. There were a few items that we discussed at that meeting, program management services and their associated contracts, what budgeting for program management services, what the tasks are in this proposed contract amendment, the differences between capital and operating budgets, and how oversight proceeds with program management services. And in conclusion, council had a robust and open discussion regarding various aspects of the proposed amendment, concluded the work session without any further questions regarding the amendment. So staff still recommends that city council authorize the city manager to execute this amendment number 2 for the program management with MKN and Associates. Thank you very much.
Okay, great. Thanks for the presentation. And I don't have any speaker slips for this item. I'm kind of scanning the audience. Anybody for public comment on this? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to council. And we've already gone through this. I think there was one part as far as there's going to be a link to the discussion that we had. That's on the website, on our YouTube part.
I don't know if the YouTube is up yet, but it will be.
Yeah, so just thanks for the work session there. Thanks for Mike Nunley and John for coming out. It was actually a good working session, a little bit more robust than I anticipated. So I just want to say thanks. It turned out really great. I'll turn over the rest of my council members to make any comments, and then we can take a motion. Marlos?
I also wanted to say that I appreciated the work session. I think we had a lot of our questions answered, and I was very satisfied with most of the responses. I really appreciated the fact that Mr. Nunley did provide us with a breakdown by fiscal year, which I know we had wanted, and I fully appreciate the explanation about why you really needed to do it on a more task basis, the contract. I know that there have been some concerns raised about performance measures, but I honestly, in looking carefully at the contract, feel that there are performance measures in there. There's milestones, there's tasks, there's deliverables, and so I'm satisfied that you have really addressed the concerns that we've raised previously. The only issue that I still have, and I'm ready to move to approve this contract amendment, but the only concerns that I still have is the overall fiscal management of the project. And I know that Mr. Nunley admitted that he doesn't have that kind of expertise in his company, and I know that our staff is really too overburdened to take on that responsibility at this time. So I would like to suggest that we at least explore the option of finding someone who has the right kind of experience in financial, fiscal management, oversight of a contract of this size and scope, and see if we could do that on a contract basis. At least explore it to see what it might cost. So that's my comment.
Great. Marlos, John?
thank you. I was the one that originally pulled the item, and the reason I did that was to get a more broad understanding of what the essentials were tied to all of the tasks that were outlined in the project. At the work session, I really appreciate the detailed information that came not only from staff but also from the consultants. it was a robust conversation. But I think, you know, projects of this magnitude deserve that, and the public deserves to have that kind of discussion and that kind of vetting for these kinds of projects. And so I just wanted to reaffirm my thanks again for all of the work that you did. Thank you, Mr. Nunley, for providing a lot of detail that was not present on the initial contract proposal. And I'm very satisfied with the information that now has been presented. I guess I'm a little concerned internally if we don't have financial oversight capabilities or capacity. And I thought I heard at the workshop that we did and were able to do that. And I would just ask maybe Mr. Buckingham to just reaffirm that we do. And I do understand we're strapped for resources, but if you could maybe elaborate a little bit more on that and make me feel comfortable, because I want to validate Marlis's concerns. They are my concerns as well, but I think we should open that up. So, again, thank you.
I think we might be talking about two pieces of financial question. I am absolutely convinced, and if I weren't, I would be strongly advocating to you for help, but I'm absolutely convinced that we have good, strong financial oversight on the project, on the invoices that come in, on ensuring that work is done, on ensuring that we are paying only what we're supposed to be paying, on that part of the financing on that part of the project. I believe our system is quite strong, as we discussed at the work session. It includes first an initial review of any subs by MKN and Associates, and then so a sub invoice goes through Mike and his team, and then goes to Sandy, and then goes to Craig, and then goes to Rob before it gets paid. And I believe that system is strong and robust. There is a desire to have the financials of the project better or formatted differently and formatted for easier reading. We talked about that. I think we can do that. One of the pieces of friction in this is financials for a public project look different for financials from a private project, and how much of the capital project goes into the operating budget is another thing. But I'm hopeful that we can develop the presentation of that picture to meet the council's requirements. But I'm equally firmly believe that we have good oversight of the execution, the financial execution of the project.
Okay, thank you, sir. Matt.
I think the workshop did a good job of kind of bringing to light or calming people's uncertainties about, and so I really appreciate it, and I have no further comments. Marlis's point is well taken, and I think as we go ahead with this, Dave, in terms of the presentation or the formation of what you just kind of explained, if we could have that brought to us, well, I guess when we get our monthly updates, that would go far to answering Marlis's point. And so that's it.
Thanks, Red.
I really appreciate the work that Mr. Nunley and Mr. Reckenbach put into leading us through the workshop, or I guess Rob led us through the workshop and with their support. After our January 24th meeting, I asked Mr. Buckingham, or I told him that I needed to have a simpler billing format where I needed to know who was going to do what, how long it was going to take, how much it was going to cost, what was the measurable outcome, and how would it carry the project forward. And I feel as if we got that, and I'm very happy with the result, and I'm ready to support the staff recommendation.
Great. I'd move forward with the motion for this, then. Take a motion to approve this item.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Heading, second by Mr. Makowetski. Any further discussion? None. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Motion carries 5-0. Great. Thank you for that. Thanks, you guys. Item C2, direction on... Direction on Market Plaza. Let me just flip over here and get to this. Direction on Market Plaza request for qualifications. And Mr. Graham.
Mayor, members of the council, this item this evening is to discuss the possibility of going out with a request for qualifications for development of the Market Plaza concept. Excuse me. A little bit of background on this item. Back in December of 2015, the council authorized staff to move forward with the purchase or reacquisition of the D'Estasio's restaurant property and its associated 40 or so space parking lot that sits at the corner of Market and Pacific. The cost for us to reacquire that property was $150,000, and we were able to acquire it so cheaply because we held a note on it for $1.2 million. The Market Plaza concept includes not just the property that D'Estasio sits on in the parking lot I previously mentioned, but it also includes the parking lot that sits below it, and I'll show you a map here in a second. So you can see the area up here where the Centennial Parkway area is located. You have the Centennial Stairway here, Front Street, kind of end of the street there, and then one of our bayfront parking lots, and then off into the water there. You have city parking lot here, city parking lot here, and then the property that the D'Estasio's restaurant sits on. Moving back into some of the background behind this, back in January of 2016, this item was brought forward to the council for discussion, specifically the Market Plaza concept. Council provided direction to staff to include significant public input, both through the Centennial Parkway discussions that we were having with the public and through the general plan and LCP update, sort of resulting in the January 24th council adoption of the Centennial Parkway plan. And then staff actions to date related to the Centennial Parkway have focused on ways to fund construction of the plaza components of that plan. And more specifically, noting that we don't have general fund resources. Obviously, that was made fairly clear earlier today at our special meeting, and looking for ways that we might bring that forward. And this is one of them, looking to partner with a public-private partnership to include construction of those plaza improvements with a larger project that might go on the properties that we previously discussed. We did incorporate outreach into the downtown and waterfront strategic planning process. I do have a typo on there. It says we had incorporated that outreach in the stakeholder interviews and three public hearings. That's supposed to be public workshops. I apologize for that. That outreach resulted in the fact that Market Plaza was identified in the draft of the downtown waterfront strategic plan as Opportunity Site 7. The public identified four associated potential catalyst projects that could go into that location, one of them being a cultural, maritime, or historical museum, one of them being a seafood market that could have produce, flowers, artisanal products, something similar to that you might see on a smaller scale, though, that you see larger scale in San Francisco at the Ferry Building or Oxbow Market in Napa. Also identified was desire maybe to have some sort of ecotourism component that could be located there, or a higher-end hotel with a restaurant, retail, and potentially a small conference facility or something of that nature. There's a recommendation on the part of staff here that we would incorporate some sort of parking facility there, a parking structure, because, as I noted, there's two parking lots that are there. We would be potentially losing that parking, so we need to replace it in some form or mechanism there to replace that. So I think a parking structure may be something worthwhile including in an RFQ. Um, Staff's recommendation as it relates to moving the Centennial Parkway project forward and the Market Plaza concept forward would be through the RFQ process, and that would help identify interested and willing partners. We do need council input, though, on this, and specifically, we have five items that I'd like you to weigh in on, and one is, should we pursue development or redevelopment of this area, specifically at this time? Is the RFQ process the appropriate process to identify development partners? And does the council have any strong beliefs as it relates to maintaining the property that's there and leasing it out or potentially selling it? We would want to know that now before we went out in the RFQ process so that we could identify that. Staff's recommendation here would be that we remain flexible and not really include that in the RFQ process, but if you do have strong feelings to that end, this would probably be the time that we'd want to be telling folks that. So I'd be interested in hearing what you have to say with regard to that item. Item four, are the identified catalyst projects that I touched on a second ago appropriate for inclusion in the RFQ? We would also include the improvements for the Centennial Parkway in that, and if acceptable to the council, we would also look to be include consideration of a parking facility to replace the parking that potentially could be lost by redeveloping that area. Finally, there's consideration of off-the-hook lease site in the RFQ. In looking at this, we've been kind of batting this around internally recently, but in looking at the area, it's directly adjacent to this. We're looking to create a focal point with the Centennial Parkway improvements, and it's appropriate for the council to give some consideration as to whether we would want to incorporate the off-the-hook lease site into the RFQ process. There are certainly positives and negatives to be weighed here, and I would definitely like to hear from the council on those. Specifically, you know, positive items, again, are the close proximity of the Centennial Parkway and Market Plaza to one another and to the off-the-hook lease site. The off-the-hook lease site would provide probably some items that I would characterize as carrots to potential folks that would come forward and be interested in development of this area. And specifically, it would provide recreational opportunities in the form of access to the water. It's a good location for restaurants, and you could have higher-end hotel units, and you get economies of scale. If you had a hotel on the Market Plaza site on the Bluff area, it could operate, you know, five or six or seven hotel rooms on the lease site, as opposed to having them operated more as a vacation rental, like it's one of the models that folks are looking at in this area. And then it provides additional opportunities for RFQ respondents, which may increase the number of responses that we get. Because I think, again, it serves as a little more of a carrot than just the existing properties that we talked about associated with DeSazio's and the adjacent parking lots. Now, like I said, there's a downside to this. The city has already released an RFP for these properties. We've received responses to these. Staff and council has reviewed those RFPs, provided direction to the respondents to sort of go back and rework their plans and give us their best shot. Those responses are due on March 15th with a tentative schedule to bring it back to council on the 11th. So we're already in the process for the off-the-hook lease site, an RFP process for that. We'd be, if you made the decision to incorporate it into this RFQ process, we'd be pulling back out of that and telling those folks that they'd be free to, you know, make submittals on the RFQ proposal that we'd be sending out. That's acceptable under the language that's in the RFP, but again, that's quite a ways down the road, and I would like to hear what the council's thought process is on that, because certainly that is one of the downsides to going down that road. Finally, in conclusion, the RFQ does support our draft fiscal year 17-18 goals. Specifically, goal number one, to achieve fiscal and economic sustainability. And we can write into the process. I think one of the issues that where a concern might rise here is the fact that we're in the middle of updating all of our land use documents. And like, how do you incorporate that into it? I think we can just, in the RFQ, it's great. You can just note in there that we are doing that. So anybody that would be proposing would be made aware of that. We have a lot of information on the update process that's on the website. We maintain that fairly regularly right now. So they would be able to, you know, obtain that information were they interested in submitting on the RFQ. The RFQ will help us identify qualified and interested companies that are interested in redeveloping that area and helping us reshape the Centennial Parkway and Market Plaza areas and possibly the Off the Hook area if council desires. Next step here would be for staff, the council to authorize staff to go prepare the RFQ and for us to identify a list of folks that we'd like to send it to and then to post it on the city's website. And there are several other websites out there that that host similar bid postings that we would like to place it on as well. I think with that, I'll conclude my presentation, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thanks, Scott. I don't have any speaker slips for this, so I'm just going to reinforce if there's anyone out there who wants to speak to this, that public comment could be open for that. But I'll start out with questions. Marlis, you want to lead us off on this?
I just have two questions. The first one is, when you say ecotourism, exactly what do you have in mind? What kind of a business would that be that would be ecotourism?
Some of them were, you know, bay tours, looking at the wildlife, looking at the bay itself. I mean, it's gorgeous. And that was some of the ideas that had come out of the outreach that we did for the Downtown and Waterfront Strategic Plan to encourage and reinforce that those are the, some of the types of businesses we'd like to encourage to locate here and to expand. So it was things of that nature.
Okay. And then the second question is, you keep referring to Off the Hook lease site, but is it not also the Libertine Pub that is up for...
It's a good question. We, the council, has authorized a consent of landowner for the redevelopment of the Libertine site. Owner of that lease site is Burt Caldwell. It's separate from the Off the Hook lease site, which we went out with an RFP on. One of the proposers combined forces with the Libertine lease site holder and brought a project forward as part of in response to the RFP. That was possible because they had already received consent of landowner from the city, and that lease site is also up in 2018. I believe it's one of the Pipkin leases. So it's separate.
But the Off the Hook lease site is not directly connected so with this piece of property, unless you also include the Libertine Pub, which is the first one that would come down from Centennial Staircase. Is that?
It is not directly adjacent, absolutely. But it is, we have a lot of attention focused in this area, and this lease site is right there in the center of it. I mean, it's one piece removed, but having some synergy there between the Centennial Parkway and what could be placed on the Market Plaza lots and this lease site makes sense. You know, you could get a pretty nice project that complements one another, I think, in this instance. At least it's worth the discussion. It's why I put it in the staff report for consideration by council.
So just to follow up, you are specifically not including the Libertine site.
This city council has issued and authorized a consent of landowner for redevelopment of that lease site. And so that's why it's not included. The RFP for the Off the Hook lease site is out there, and that is actively moving forward right now at this point.
All right. Thank you. Those are my questions.
Can I ask Scott to clarify? So Mr. Caldwell is the holder of consent of landowner for the Libertine.
Thanks.
If the council determines to include Off the Hook in the Market Plaza RFQ, could Mr. Caldwell perhaps consider responding to the RFQ and throwing the Libertine into the mix, essentially?
I'm sure that he would be interested in that. Mr. Caldwell's done development all over the county, so I wouldn't be surprised if he was one of the respondents.
So I just want to clarify that, because while the Libertine isn't included in this, it could be included at Mr. Caldwell's impetus in a response.
He's also familiar that we're going through this discussion with the council.
Thank you.
John?
Thank you, Scott, for the information and the report. Two questions. One, with the inclusion of the Centennial Parkway and the Market Plaza projects together lend themselves to better tying in the downtown businesses with the Embarcadero, as opposed to just the Centennial Parkway by itself?
Well, the Centennial Parkway by itself is owned by the city, and we don't have funds to construct it. The Market Plaza is sort of the project there. We own the property that's associated with it, and so we can negotiate terms for somebody that would come in and want to put a project there whereby they could construct the improvements for the Centennial Parkway. It does help, and it was identified in the Downtown and Waterfront Strategic Plan, whose goal is to better connect the downtown and the waterfront as one of the main sites ripe for redevelopment. And that process identified the catalyst projects that I showed you that could potentially go there, meaning that was the input that we received through stakeholder outreach and the three workshops that we had, that folks thought those might be good uses to put there, and hence the reason they're in the report and the presentation.
And in your opinion, does tying all three entities together in a RFQ better position the city to receive responses potentially that will significantly, if not completely, assist us in funding the improvements that need to be made that might directly be under cost to us?
I believe it absolutely does that, or helps to do that. I think it's more of an enticement to get people to come in and propose on the RFQ. That waterfront lease site's very nice. It provides you access to the water. You could have your nice waterfront restaurant there. You could put your really nice rooms up there for your hotel. I mean, putting them together makes sense. And when you talk to folks that build hotels, it's tough for folks that are really ones that operate hotels. They look at it and they're like, 8-9 hotel rooms doesn't make any sense for us. How do we operate that? You know, we're used to operating 70, 80, 120 room hotels. If you can get both of them together, though, there's a bit of a synergy there, and you can use your staff from the hotel piece that's across the street with your 50 rooms or whatever it is, and they can help with the stuff that's across the way on the Embarcadero for their whatever 10 rooms maybe. I don't know if it would be that many, probably not, but anyway.
Thank you. That's all the questions I had.
Okay. Matt?
Yes. First question. In terms of off the hook, the three possible RFPs, are you comfortable and then moving forward with them individually? Or do you think it would be more advantageous for us to go back to another one of your recommendations and include the off the hook into an RFQ? Did that make sense? You want me to repeat it?
Well, I'll try, and then if I didn't hit it on the mark, you can correct me. Or anyway, so we have three respondents to the RFP for Off the Hook, and they're in process right now. And I gave you the timelines for their submit. They're going to resubmit in March. The concept here would be we, as is allowed in the current RFP, we can change it at any time, and that change would be to incorporate it into the RFQ for the properties across the street and send it back out. Those proposers would have the opportunity to propose on it like anyone else. I would imagine they wouldn't be very happy about it. But you saw the financial issues that the city's facing, and these are tough questions that the council needs to weigh in on. We need to be able to look at all the opportunities that are out there, and you need to make informed decisions, and that's what this is about.
Got it. Okay, that makes sense. Because that's what I was thinking with the people. Because if we do this larger Centennial Parkway Market Street, would it be more advantageous for us to go to larger fish with people with a more a larger view of things? That's my next question. Is one of your requests was is the RFQ process the desired approach? Do you have alternatives to this?
Well, I mean, you could go and we could sort of outline a specific project that we want to see there, a very specific one. Now that's going to whittle down the number of folks that are interested in submitting, and that would be more of an RFP process like we did on Off the Hook. It was pretty specific. Eric put it together, and it was pretty specific about what we were expecting to see there. And you could do something along those lines, but I think if we do that, we're sort of eliminating the ability. There's folks out there that develop these types of facilities. I mean, like hotel type things. And they have a really good idea about what works and what doesn't, and I wouldn't want to sort of tamp down that enthusiasm for the creativity that could come forward. Basically, I'd want to put in the items that we have in there because those are things that that our citizens have said they would be interested in. They all seem to make sense for that location. And then to see what unique things people could bring forward, what kind of ideas they might have, and then that would be something that we'd be able to bring back after reviewing all of them to council and have a good discussion about it. So
I guess along with that line of thinking then, because in this process the last few months when we're talking about this RFQ process, I've had a number of people contact me and say, hey, we don't want some sort of homogenized, just big tourist thing. We want to keep our eclectic Morrow Bay vision. So with the approach that you're advocating here, that would be one way that we would get citizen input and be able to have people feel ownership for it.
Well, and I think we've heard that. Not only have you heard that, but we've heard that through the downtown and waterfront mm-hmm. strategic planning process. I mean, it's pretty clear they're not interested in something that's some huge monolithic structure that's there. I think it has to be something that's respective of the area and fits into the neighborhood there and makes sense. Again, does it feel like Morrow Bay, or does it feel like it's something that's designed down in Southern California? That's the concerns that we regularly hear, and we'd want to convey that to a proposer, mm-hmm. you know, as part of that conversation that you have with the RFQ. As opposed to you do the RFP, we're going to get a package of stuff from them that's going to have some concepts in it, and it may be, unless we do a really good job of describing what we don't want, maybe things that we don't want. I think it is probably the better way to go because it allows flexibility in our dealings with the individual proposers.
Okay, that really answers a lot of questions. Thank you. Here's another question. In terms of the off-the-hook property, knowing that the boatyard next door, those lease sites needing the improvements that they need on the bay side of the bulkhead, we're going to just let that go its own natural route, or could someone theoretically do the off the hook and the boatyard simultaneously?
I'll jump with that. The boatyard's on a separate site and a separate timeline. That one's moving forward, and the boatyard improvements can and will be done irrespective of what happens at Off the Hook.
Okay, just knowing, the only reason I ask that, knowing that there's a lot of moving parts right there between the Liberty and Off the Hook to the Boatyard, Centennial Parkway, Market Street, that's why.
And I believe that, I mean, Eric might want to weigh in on this, but we did have some of the adjacent lease sites over there take a look at their improvements and see if there was issues. Is that correct? With the bulk, I mean, wasn't that, we were talking about the letter.
Yeah, like Dave said, next door at the boatyard, a totally separate project. We would anticipate that the bulkhead and seawall at the off-the-hook site and the Libertine site, whatever sort of development ends up happening there, would be looked at, and the engineering would be looked at as part of that process. Off-the-hook specifically. If it ends up that Libertine Pub goes on its own, Mr. Caldwell is going to have to consider that as part of his process.
Okay, sorry to take so long. I'm just going through the questions you're asking and then asking
good,
the same questions.
Yeah.
Another question. In here, your question is keeping quiet on whether to sell or lease the Destacio's building. Could you explain both sides of that equation?
I think when we go out, people are going to be interested in potentially both of those things. They might be interested in working out lease agreements with us, probably involving favorable terms to amortize the cost of the improvements for the plaza. It's pretty easy to do that through lease agreements. It's also fairly easy to do that, through purchase agreements. You price the property appropriately to cover some of the costs that we'd be expecting them to put forward in building those improvements. But if the council had strong feelings one way or the other, I wouldn't want to be silent on that, because it would be important that we're putting some of that information out there so they know that it's either going to be one or the other. If you think that it's fine to see what people come forward with and what they want to, what they might be interested in, which is what staff's recommendation is, then I think that's the best course of action.
The staff,
if I may add, the biggest difference in my mind would be how interested in the council is the council in 50 or 75 years from now wanting to get control of the property back. That's really what the big difference would be.
Because when you say we'd be selling it, Joe, and why? How does that time frame come into play there? I don't understand.
I was thinking if you leased it, it'd have to be a long-term lease, and so it'd be when that lease ends. And I would just come up with numbers, 50, 99 years, whatever the term of the lease is.
And so I guess,
as opposed to selling the property or conveying the property and not having ownership anymore of the property.
Okay. That's a good question, because when we found out as council that we were owners, when we became owners of this property, it opened up a new can of worms. So I guess then you would bring back, or we would be apprised of various advantages on either side.
Absolutely, as it comes forward. If we don't make any, don't provide any direct that item, then we'll just wait to see what folks are interested in when they come forward with their proposals.
But I think what Mr. Graham's trying to indicate is, if you have a pretty strong feeling that you'd like to be able to become the owners again of the property at the end of the term, let him know that so we can include that language in the RFQ.
I'll say one of the threads that's running through this is one of the staff's goals in this is to get the most creativity going out there in the market. That's why ecotourism, or we're not exactly sure what that is, but there may be somebody out there who has a phenomenal idea for an ecotourism hotel-ish parking structure thing. We don't know, and so the more that we ratchet down, the less flexibility folks are going to have. There are some folks there's some developers who absolutely won't think about this unless they can buy it. There's others who are absolutely committed to wanting to lease it because they want to charge off those lease costs as part of for tax purposes. And amortize those costs over years. So there's a benefit to we'll get more in number and more creative responses the broader that we make this, and we can always make a decision later and say no, don't want to sell it, or absolutely won't lease it, or however we want to do that.
Thank you. Red?
Scott, is there any potential for Rose's Landing to be included in this?
Rose's Landing is working through an application right now to convert its upper floors to hotel rooms. So other than participating in, financially in what it might take to put in the improvements for the plaza on the water side, I don't see that. Their lease isn't up right now. So, I mean, they're literally looking at these improvements because they want to make waterside improvements then make the changes to the rooms upstairs. So they're on a different course. Their lease isn't up. And we're looking to get them involved, at least potentially financially for some improvements for the plaza component of it. And we'll probably be going to Planning Commission to come into council in the next, 3 or 4 months with that. So you'll see that project coming forward. But it's separate track.
Okay.
That said, again, things are broad and wide open. And might it be that the Rose's Landing owner says, hey, now's the time that I want to tear down Rose's Landing and redevelop it, and I want to bid on a whole project that has Market Plaza, and he says, I'm going to throw Rose's Landing into the mix, and here's how it's going to look. Could happen. Similar to Caldwell saying, oh, I'll throw Libertine on the table, and it'll look like this, or Otter Rocks, or Off the Hook, saying, here's our proposal with Off the Hook included. So.
Not far-fetched, given that they've partnered before on projects right there, the two, Doug Redekin for Rose's Landing and Bert Caldwell for Liberty.
Okay, you've got my mind racing. That's all.
So I guess my question is, How do you unwind the COL for Caldwell's property? How would you unwind that, the COL? Let me elaborate on my question. So right now the RFQ is for the Market Street, and then the question is, do we want to add off the hook? And we've already been through this iteration once where we say, okay, the RFQ's out there, but really the only person that can put all three together is the holder of, which is Caldwell, of the property. So are we going to really get truly competitive, creative options if he's the only one that can do all three? Which, you know, if all three were put together and open, then truly we would have an open playing field where competitive, creative developers would come in and we would see different versions of that. The way I see it is the Caldwell COL basically puts him in the position for us to only see one option. So, and now the conversation of, well, if Roses wanted a partner, so we're basically kind of opening it. So we're not, it doesn't seem like we're really opening it up for competitive or creative options. We'd be opening it up for a couple of people on the lease side if they wanted to get together and do the whole thing. And
I think we actually would get proposers that don't involve Burt Caldwell that are interested in building some sort of hotel facility there that's got restaurants and retail and be interested in having the piece across the street. That access to the water is unique. And I think other folks that do those types of developments would be interested in that by itself. Certainly, the more properties or more lease sites you include in this, the broader range of folks that we would get. Now, we have the consent of landowner with Burton, and I don't know what the timing of that is on that lease site. I
mean, so basically with that scenario, I'm just kind of curious, how do you unwind that COL?
Can you go back to the picture while we're doing that? So I would not recommend that.
I'm just asking how you would do it, though.
Yeah,
that's what
no,
I'd
no,
like
I,
to know.
I would not recommend, well, that's a separate question. So I wouldn't recommend that we do anything now to un-COL the Libertine. But we wouldn't have to wind back the COL if Mr. Caldwell came forward and said, I'd like to include the Libertine in this alternative project.
That's what I would have said.
So how do you unwind the COL?
Do you mean on your own volition or in partnership with Mr. Caldwell?
If we wanted to do an RFQ for anybody to participate in all those, in the Caldwell and Off the Hook and the Market Street one, the Libertine. So basically the RFQ is going to say, hey, Off the Hook and Market Street. That's what we're looking at for an RFQ.
Right. So Centennial Park, Centennial, the three sites.
Yeah.
That's what the RFQ would be looking at now, is the three sites.
And the three sites being, did you say Centennial?
Right.
As part
Market
of the development component. Obligation component.
Yes.
Okay.
That's the concept that's being brought before you.
Okay.
The city doesn't have flexibility to say, and I want to include the Libertine site because of the COL. However, if that RFQ goes out and Mr. Caldwell comes in and says, you know what, I want to give you my response to the RFQ, and I'm going to throw in Libertine, and here's what I want to do, but similar to what he did on Off the Hook,
right?
You can accept that or not.
I guess my point is we're only going to see his response.
So,
right? I mean, to
so
all
mean
three
for the,
spots,
for the
right?
Including
so
Libertine.
Right. So, I mean,
unless
what we were into before.
Unless, just as he worked with potential person who wanted to do Off the Hook, joining those together, he may talk to, or the person from Market who wants to submit an RFQ for the other three sites may go talk to him themselves and say, gee, you have this idea we're going to do, but how about this?
I think that Scott would say that this portion here, Off the Hook, is a valuable enticement on its own, even without the libertine in the mix. So if we went out as we're sort of recommending with a fairly broad RFQ that lists those uses that includes off the hook, then you could, I think here are the scenarios that you could see. You could see people respond to Market Plaza and Centennial Parkway and say, I don't care about off the hook, and libertine's not even on their mind because we didn't advertise that. You could see people respond to Market Plaza and say, I'm going to put my restaurant here and some high-end hotel rooms that are part of this development. One person could tie all of that together, or one person would have to be on a team to tie all of that together. And if Mr. Caldwell responded, he could respond individually or as part of a team to the Market Plaza and off the hook and the Libertine. But I think what Ms. Pernone, I just communicated is we're not in a position to undo the consent of landowner on the Libertine and package that in too, also because we've made a commitment by council action to Mr. Caldwell on the Libertine.
And I guess it just goes back to, so my question was, how do we can't unwind that COL, period. And I guess I keep going to that.
There are certain terms and milestones that have to be met, and if they aren't met, then you could rescind the COL. But you can't just on your own volition rescind their COL.
Okay, that's what I yeah. Okay.
And I'd just like to add to what Mr. Bickingham said, or maybe I misheard. I don't think we'd be wanting people to submit from that RFQ to only do pieces of this. We'd want the RFQ to say, and you have to give us an idea for everything that we're going to be providing, not just one piece of it.
Okay. All right, those are my questions. Then we can just go into comment and discussion, and then why don't we start with Matt? I don't have any comments. I don't have any public slips for public comment, and unless Janice would like to speak to this item. No, thank you. Okay, we'll try to get through it quickly so you can get up next. So discussion. Matt, you want to lead us off, and then Brett?
Well, in terms of going through these questions, I think it's enticing to include the RF off the hook, given the totality of it. In terms of keeping it separate from, and also I think it's also interesting about the lease or selling of Distacios. When we think about the monetary situation, this kind of was dumped in our lap after previous councils and this came to us. But however, monetarily, I mean, to keep that on the table, it was to, you know, perhaps bargain with whatever entity or entities would come and look at that or make an RFQ for that. So I would be definitely interested in keeping that open. So I agree with you there. Let me think. Other than that, that's pretty much all my comments right there.
Okay. Thanks, Red.
So I guess going through your question, Scott, for the first one, pursued development, redevelopment, yes. And yes, RFQ process. And I follow your recommendation about ownership. Leave that open. And I do follow your recommendation to include consideration of a parking structure. And yes, I support inclusion of the off-the-hook lease site. So those are my comments.
Okay. John? John?
Thank you. You know, I don't know historically if this potential opportunity would ever open itself up again in the history of this city. I think this is a one-time opportunity, and that we find ourselves in a significant financial bind, not to say dire at this time, per Mr. Buckingham, and I agree, but given the future and our two-hour, hour-and-a-half symposium this afternoon, we are facing some critical financial issues in the future, and we have got to diversify the economy in this city and or expand the opportunities that provide for the greatest return on investment possible now. Otherwise, we will continuously, I believe, be trying to dig ourselves out of a hole. Given that, I think this project of tying the three components together lends itself significantly to the possibility of, or the greatest possibility of, whatever developer may come forward in participating in funding some of the requirements that we're wanting to fund. I think piecemealing it diminishes that opportunity, and I think putting all three entities together maximizes it. And lastly, with regard to lease purchase, I think in the RFQ process, which I do support, I think you leave it open at this time. I'd like to see all responses come forward, so I'm not opposed to looking at either a lease or a purchase opportunity. Lastly, you know, timing is everything in decision-making, and I think it's the time. We're presented with a significant economic opportunity, as I've said. We need to take advantage of it for the future viability of this city, and I strongly support exactly what I've said. So, thank you.
Marlos.
Well, I find I'm going to disagree with my honorable council member here.
Bring it on, Marlos.
First of all, I'm in favor of doing an RFQ, so that's not the issue. I just think that now is not the time to do it. I don't think we've done enough background work. I don't think that the public has weighed in on this issue. I attended all three of those workshops, and I know that at the last one, this was identified as an opportunity site, and most people didn't really comment on it. And if you look at the ideas you're going to put in the RFQ, a cultural maritime historical museum. Well, we already are building a maritime museum, and we have the Natural History Museum right down the road. Seafood market, wouldn't you put a seafood market down in Measure D where the fishing is? I mean, why would you put it up there? I think this is written specifically for a high-end hotel and restaurant. And if that's what we really want there, and possibly a conference facilities, then that's the way we should position it. We're really not going to get anything creative with this list. I would really hope that we could have some kind of a joint session with the GPAC, because I don't believe that the GPAC has looked at this. And I am concerned that we have all these plans going, and we need to look at the overall big picture for what's going to happen in this city that really meets the vision and values of our community. And if we have a waterfront plan and we've got the general plan going and we haven't figured out circulation yet in the area, moving forward with an RFQ at this point, I'm not suggesting that we should wait forever, but I think if we wait at least until we have some kind of a session with GPAC and have an opportunity to really get ideas, creative ideas, and make sure that we, when we do an RFQ, we are getting the creative responses, not just perhaps Mr. Caldwell, because he is in a good position to, develop this. So I guess that's what I'd like to see is that we take some time and eventually do an RFQ, but not at this. I couldn't support it at this point in time. So my comments.
Thanks, Marlos. I just want to make some comments that I made earlier with Mr. Graham and Mr. Buckingham on this. And I didn't really, during the staff report, Scott's smiling as I get to this, but I didn't really look at this as much when we were going through the Centennial Parkway concept. And I know we've looked at this before, and when I was looking at this during the staff report, this is kind of minor for the scheme of thing, but for my colleagues on the council, you know, I looked at Centennial Parkway and I go, and Market Plaza. Well, Centennial Parkway is not an automobile throughfare, so it didn't make sense to me. It seems like Centennial should be Centennial Plaza, much like Mission Plaza, and Market Plaza should just be Market Street Place. Sorry, I've just got to start off with my comments on there, because after all this time, I was thinking, well, Centennial Parkway is not a parkway at all. It's a plaza. So I just wanted to make those comments. And even to that end, I think, you know, the Market Plaza that we have named, just being it for the RFQ, as I get to my comments for that, the RFQ, I think just kind of Market Street Place gives it the vanilla, hey, just go look at it. Centennial Plaza, that's the focal piece of the component for what, and I think we need to highlight that because we put work into what that concept would look like. So those are my comments just on that piece of it, and ready for that. Marlis, I appreciate your comments on kind of if we're ready for this or not. I'm in agreement in some of your thought process on this, and what I'm thinking about with this is I don't necessarily see the necessary rush to pull the trigger on this tonight and make an RFQ so we can send it out right away. I think we had a lot of feedback when we saw the RFP come back from the Off the Hook and Libertine lease site when that came back. And, you know, there was a little bit shocking, and we got plenty of feedback on that, right? So, you know, I think there's time to have some input on what Marlis was talking about, some of the criteria on there. I would agree. When I look at the list, I was going, okay, who wants to invest all that for a museum? Where's the pro forma on that? So, you know, check that. It's not going to be that. You know, it really just focuses on to only one that really is going to pencil out, so to speak. So I believe that's what we're going to get. And I think that I would agree as well that, you know, of all the times to do this, we don't have our general plan and local coastal plan done, which would be the driving guideline of how it should be constructed. Those are the thoughts I have on this too. So, you know, I had a little bit of this conversation with Scott through this, and like, okay, we get so far ahead of this, and then we have a general plan that's not even done yet, and to, you know, what's really going to guide them? And then are we going to set ourselves up for success or failure in having, you know, community come up and say, hey, this isn't really what we're looking for. So I would really rather, you know, look at this, you know, and have a little bit more discussion on this and make sure that as this goes out, certainly we can have creative thoughts, but it's not necessarily a surprise. And we can do a little bit of time up front or spend a lot of time back here trying to correct some of the overexcitement of a creative project, which we saw when we were down on the waterfront. Those are my comments there. So I'll just go down the list as far as should we pursue this now, and I'm kind of giving you my feedback on, is it time now? I mean, it could be with maybe just a little bit more time in how we go about it. Is the RFQ process the desired approach? I would agree with that, and I'm open to the sell versus leasing as far as the RFQ part goes when it goes out for that. I don't think we've got it. I think leaving it open gives the opportunity to have interested parties kind of explain what's beneficial either way. And to some point, I think we have to figure out for the city really what makes sense. Though for whatever reason, I instinctively am leaning towards, you know, have it be a sold component. I'll just put that out there. And then consideration for inclusion on Off the Hook, you know, I guess I'm open to that, but there again, I, you know, made my comments. I think, Red, you made some good comments too. So what about Rose's Landing? you know, it could be open for that, but I guess my question is, will we get real creative projects if there's only one person there that kind of holds the key to, you know, that the libertine one? So I wonder if we're just going to, you know, be looking kind of like we did when we had the original lease site proposal for Off the Hook, where we had the Caldwell project come in with a larger project that we were like, oh, wow, this is, you know, he kind of owned the bid. And I would be hopeful that we would get more interested parties and that we wouldn't be consumed by one person because they happen to own the consent of landowner on the libertine lease site. So those are my comments there. And then I guess I feel like there needs to be a little bit more discussion on some comments from Marlis and myself as far as making the process. I will make one more comment, though. At the very minimum, I'd like to see the RFQ. I'd like it to come back. I think we haven't done this, really. It's a big project. I think it's worthwhile weighing in on that, and not only weighing in on it, but having one more exposure to the community as this goes through the process, I think is important. So those are my comments there. John, the
interesting thing is I think we're all saying the same thing. Because first, I don't think, at least it wasn't my interpretation, that in this RFQ we were going to say it's going to have a cultural, maritime, historical museum, a seafood market. I wasn't thinking that. An RFQ is simply saying, hey, developer, whoever's out there, come with what you think is a viable project and what might be the components of that. So I'm right aligned with what you said in terms of moving forward with seeing what the RFQ might look like, and then having us, of course, having the opportunity to approve that. That would be the vetting process for council, but obtaining input from the community as well for that RFQ. I think that's part and parcel of it. So, again, I don't think we're really far off at all. I think we're kind of, Dave, you're looking kind of like, not sure you're understanding what I'm saying, but I'm trying to look for middle ground here where I think there's agreement. And my sense is that, and also from Matt and from what Red said, that that will allow us, as we see that, to involve the GPEC. And as that moves forward, be informed by that in this process. I don't think you can get an RFQ next week. It's going to take a while to develop that. So maybe I need to be further informed about the process. But I don't think we're far apart.
Okay. Matt, Red?
I would note for the council that the GPAC is actually scheduled to review the draft downtown waterfront strategic plan on the 8th. So they haven't had a chance to look at it. They haven't had a chance to talk about it. And so I could see some of the areas that are identified for this opportunity site changing, just similar to the comments that the council had, that maybe some of these things are not really all that appropriate for there. I certainly could see that coming out of the GPAC's review as well. So,
Red?
Scott, at the risk of sounding dumb, we have Centennial Parkway, Market Plaza, and the Downtown Waterfront Strategic Plan, and I guess I don't understand how the DWSP either differentiates or ties in, or is it a combination?
Well, so the DWSP is part of the general plan and LCP update, and is designed to better connect the downtown and the waterfront. And it picks up and identifies several opportunity sites in that core area, one of them being right on top of where we're talking about putting Market Plaza. It identifies that as an opportunity site for redevelopment, and then identified some things that could potentially go there, and those were identified through the workshops and the stakeholder outreach that we've had. But not unlike some of the comments from council, I have a feeling once we talk to the GPAC on the 8th that they're probably going to have some concerns similar to what you've expressed. Like, why would we put that there if we've got two other locations where these might otherwise be going? That would not be a surprise to me.
Okay. I know we got two mics on. Yep. Matt, go ahead.
I would be in support of what Marlis and John and Red and Jamie, what we're all saying is throw this to GPAC. And then if we do get their suggestions, and then if it's warranted, and we get together and talk with them about this, and then invite more public. And I understand we already have on three different occasions. But however, understanding how important this is to the general plan and LCP, I would be in favor of that.
Marlis?
I just wanted to say that I recognize that we actually, getting some more economic development is really important, and so I fully appreciate that. I just, really, my concern is taking a little bit more time to do this right and to really understand what we might want to put there, and especially in the overall context of all the other things that are going on, and I think about the power plant site, if we do this there, how does that impact then what we might put on the power plant site? So it's like you really have to have a better vision of the whole community and what the opportunities are and what we might want in various locations in town. And that's what the whole general plan update is supposed to do. So I'm just wanting to get a little bit more public input and think about this in broader terms before we go out with the RFQ.
Okay. So to Joe?
May I
yes.
Provide some?
Yeah, I see a hand.
My comments are coming from my experience doing redevelopment in a lot of cities. Mm-hmm. And you are, it's unclear to me which process you want to follow. There's a lot of benefit and opportunity that can be provided to you by the development people who know development and know how to fund it and know what works and know where it works. And to get that input for you to be able to decide to see and for the community to see without having to pay for it, and to get that feedback and opportunities provided is one approach. Mm-hmm. Another approach is for the community to think about what it wants based on its own thoughts of what it likes to see, and then go out to the development world and ask them to come and build it. You see how those are two totally different things, because one's more limiting than the other, at least in my head.
Yeah.
But if that's what you want to do, you want to be more limited in what you do. That I understand.
I guess from a process standpoint, thanks for that explanation, understanding that you go out to the RFQ and we can get back that creativity, right? One, I still would like to have the RFQ come back to us, right? I think that would be one step, and then to be able to daylight that, maybe it could be that we, based on this discussion, we have the RFQ come back to us, we can review that and line it up with one of the joint meetings with the GPAC, and then have that discussion. So we're basically, it's not like it's not as though we. Part of it is having enough understanding of what's going on with this project for the community, because there. I think I try to use the analogy of the initial libertine and off the hook when we came back with the boat, and we got a lot of input back on that. I would really like to see that if we do have that type of interest from developers, that we don't come back with some sort of project and that we get beaten up, and then we tear projects apart, and there's really, we eliminate any interest at all because the community came out and was so upset with everything. So, and I think to a large degree, knowing our community, you know, and projects, I think we need to be sensitive to that. So I think that's where, you know, kind of my thoughts are on how we do that.
An alternative to that could be to have you approve an RFQ that isn't super specific. Mm-hmm. It's more getting people with quality to come in and show you what they can do. And then have the possibly an approach is to have those RFQ responses that you receive, have the GPEC review those and give you input on those rather than on the RFQ itself.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any comments on that?
The economic viability of this is going to be determined by the responder to an RFQ who does this, your first comment, who does this, knows what is economically viable and what produces a return. If that flavor, which might be vanilla or chocolate, is not appealing to the community, then the community is not going to accept it. It's going to be rejected, and we will not move forward. But I think it's better to be informed by those who know and have done this and know what economic viability is with certain constraints built into the RFQ, but allow them to broadly respond with what they think might be an economically viable project and then allow the community to respond to that. So
can I ask a question?
Absolutely.
Of my colleague? Okay. So would you then not put any possible kinds of projects in the RFQ? Would you say here's...
So the intent, and I'll give you a little bit of background about where I was going with this, was to do pretty much what Mr. Pannoni was talking about, was we have planning efforts right now that identify this, you know, the Downtown Waterfront Strategic Plan identifies this area and some things that could go there. That's the way it was going to be phrased. These are some things through planning processes that we're in the middle of right now that were identified as potential uses that could go here. And then right beyond that is going to be, but feel free to bring forward whatever you think might work best here, because they have expertise. The folks that we're going to go out to have expertise developing projects like this. This is my experience, and sounds like similar to Joe's, is I've dealt with many, many developers that have all different kinds of capacity to build projects. The ones that do projects like this are pretty dialed in and know what it takes to make them work. They don't just randomly propose things. You know, they give them really good thought, and they'll tell you what will work, and they're happy to usually sit down with the community and go over, these are the things that give me the return on investment I need to put the project and bring it forward, and they can explain that to the community, you know, in association with the proposals they would bring forward. And so they're usually pretty well versed in that. Is my experience.
Well, I will throw out another suggestion then. Since GPAC is going to be considering this plan coming up, could they also look at this and provide input on that and then move forward with an RFQ that at least has had them look at it and perhaps make some other suggestions before you develop the RFQ? So we've run it past GPAC to get their input on this.
And I guess to some extent, I think Scott was saying it had, but to your comment,
On the 8th, they're going to see the draft DWSP. Right. And when we get to this item, I can actually emphasize, okay, hey, council's considering this right now. I'd really like you to give serious consideration as to what should be included in here based on the input you've heard from the public, because they sat at all the tables. The GPAC was in those meetings, sitting down at each table. I think that's probably the way to go, and that's a pretty easy get on the part of staff. And we're already doing that process. It lines right up, and then we can pull that information out, put that in an RFQ format, show it to the council, bring it back, and you can figure out where you want to go from there.
That sounds good. That sounds
okay.
Good. Everything okay? Any comments to the left? All good? To the right? Okay. I'll just make one quick comment. I know we were talking about economic development and kind of some of the potentials, but, you know, if that map were expanded back and we look to the other side, there's a another property owner that has the hotel that's on the bluff and the property down below it and the property behind it. So there are other potentials, not just this. And so I think for something like this, it's worthwhile taking the time, and what we do here is an example for anything else. So I think our community's pretty sensitive to that, as we should be, and so I'm just throwing that out there as to something to think about, because regardless of the Morbay power plant, there is something in close proximity that has very similar opportunity as well. So with this, we don't necessarily have a motion with this. I think we have direction.
As what I was said to you just a second ago is fine, that's what I'm going to do.
I think
that's good. That's enough direction.
Okay. All right. So we're going to March 8 GPAC. You're going to roll this through. Then based on that, we're going to see a RFQ come back to us, and then we'll review that, and then we'll kind of – and then send it off. Okay. All right. Good. Okay. Thanks. So that'll conclude item C2, and now we can move on to item C3. Janice, thanks for waiting. Item C3 is a consideration of and direction regarding a request from By the Sea Productions for a reduction or waiver of application fees for special use permit UPO 446, allowing co-location of a live theater in an existing church in a residential zone at 545 Shasta Avenue. And with that, Mr. Graham. Okay, usually I'll look and I say, okay, is it Dave? Is it Scott? But it said Joan and Whitney. But then I had to.
I was pressed for time and had to get a little help.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, Mayor Irons, members of the council. As was stated, this is a request for a fee waiver by.
I'm sorry. Before we get started, I need to clarify kind of the recusal part, because I should probably do that now before the presentation. Is that correct? Okay, so I just need to clarify this with Mr. Pannoni. So I recused myself during this item, which was being agendized. So I pre-discussed this because, hey, I live within 500 feet of this particular project. And so, Mr. Pannoni, if you can kind of explain what we talked about there and then why I recused myself.
The reason you recused yourself is because we're in a little different factual situation.
Is your mic on?
Okay.
The light's on. I don't know if the mic's on.
Okay, all right, sorry.
The reason you recused yourself last time is because we were in a different factual situation than we are now. When the item was to be brought before the council, it wasn't certain whether that theater was going to locate on this particular property. And the conflict issue when you have property within 500 feet of where something may be installed, if the decision that is being made is going to affect the value of the property, then if you're within 500 feet, you have to recuse yourself. Well, because at the time that the first discussion we had, that theater may locate there, that could potentially increase the value of the property because there's going to be a tenant there that's a theater. That's not the facts we have anymore. The facts we have now is the theater's there, and all that's being requested is a is a fee waiver. Not all. I don't want to belittle it. What's being requested is a fee waiver, but the fee waiver isn't going to affect the value of the real property that the theater's sitting on. So because of that, there isn't a conflict pursuant to the FPPC regulations.
So I could participate.
So you can participate.
Okay. I just want to be consistent having this discussion. I had to debate whether or not, okay, if this is all factual and everything. So thanks for that clarification. Now we can continue. I'll continue sitting here and going through this process. Thanks. Otherwise, I was going to have you do it, John.
Okay.
Scott, sorry.
Sure. So as was stated, this is a fee waiver request by the Sea Productions, also known as Peter Plow Players, which is a nonprofit theater group that has previously operated out of Cambria for the last 18 years. The council identified this item as a future agenda item back on December 13th. I think it was brought forward by Councilmember Heading, I believe. And involves a special use permit to allow the operation of the playhouse at St. Peter's Episcopal Church, which is located in a residential neighborhood at 545 Shasta Avenue. Planning Commission approved the special use permit on January 17th of this year. And while we were waiting through this process, we haven't had them pay the fee yet because we didn't know what that might actually be, given this item was placed on a future agenda item. We also received a formal written request, and it's an attachment to your staff report from By the Sea Productions, outlining the reasons for their request. A little bit about the fees. The fees that are associated with a special use permit are $5,308. There's a noticing fee that goes along with that of $306, and an environmental determination fee of $92 for a total of $5,706. We've given you a couple of alternatives here for consideration this evening. One would be to reduce the application fee to $2,100, which would be a subsidy of approximately $3,606. You could approve a complete fee waiver if you chose. You could deny the fee waiver, and the applicant would be required to pay the entire $5,706, or I guess suppose you could come to some other amount that you found acceptable, and that would be the fee that they would pay. That's pretty much it in a nutshell. If you have questions for me, I'd be happy to answer them.
Great, Scott. Thanks for the report. To my right, Marlis, questions?
No questions.
John, questions?
Scott, do we have precedent set for doing this with other not-for-profits or other entities?
Not for the 2.5 years that I've been here.
Thank you.
I haven't had a request, though, either.
Thanks.
Matt?
Scott, looking at full fee, reduced fee, whatever, in terms of monetary output for the city, how much is it going to be costing the city to do whatever needs to be done to inspect, make sure that the existing structure is appropriate for this? I mean, so I guess if we reduce this to zero, or we need necessarily recoup the city's costs of what we need to do, is there any number in there?
So we've already done all of those things. As you heard Councilmember McPherson stating earlier during comments, they're operating right now and winding down their first play series. So we've gone through all that process. We've inspected it with our building inspector and our fire marshal, and then we've taken it through the planning process to Planning Commission, and they've where their special use permit was approved. Not to get into exactly what the cost of that was. But what I can tell you is, and where the $2,100 fee came from, is that's about the minimal amount of money it takes to bring something forward to a hearing. And it's not based on calculations that I've done for the city of Morro Bay. It's based on calculations I did when I was in Pismo Beach before I came here. So a little bit, about 3 years ago, about 3.5 years ago, actually, I had to do a similar calculation for a fee waiver, and that was the cost. And then adding CPI to it ended up, it was a little under $2,000 then, and adding CPI to it came out to about $2,100. And again, minimal amount to get an application to hearing with a minimal amount of work, and so that's where that came from, as an idea of where to start.
Okay.
Thanks, Matt. Red?
Scott, what is the city policy regarding the fee charged for a special use permit? How do you arrive at the amount of the fee?
So the city, several years ago, contracted out for a fee study. And so out of that resulted the fees that you, for the most part, that you see. I've added a few over the last couple of years since I've been here that didn't cover things that we weren't doing, and we're adding a few more to cover services we provide that we don't currently charge for. But it was a fee study. It looks at the amount of time that it takes to process these applications, and it takes into account the fact that the application comes in, it's handled by an initial person that takes that in, they create a folder and a file, and they route it out to the other departments. The other departments, you know, review the applications. It takes all that time into account, and then that those responses are brought back to typically the planner that's working on it. They develop a staff report. I review the staff report. Then that comes to a hearing. We have time at the hearing that's accounted for in that, and then it's all that time, you know, and it includes the payroll of all of those folks, including roll up and overhead costs to put the lights on in the building and all those types of things. And we arrive at the fee that you see on the board there. That's where it comes from. And from the time that we did it back, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, maybe it was more than that, CPI or ENR has been added to it to increase it, to cover inflation.
Do we normally consider community benefit when we assess permit fees?
When I apply permit fees, I apply them as adopted by the City Council.
Okay.
When you want to look at consider that, that would be one consideration in determining whether, you know, there is public benefit to this. There's a benefit to bringing a playhouse to Morro Bay. I think there probably is, my personal opinion. You know, are those things to consider in, you know, for a request for a fee waiver? Absolutely. They're valid. Okay.
And do we have a policy in place for reducing or waiving permit fees?
Not that I've seen. We have lots of things that have been adopted over time, but I've not seen one for this.
Okay. That's all I have.
Thanks. So just to double up on some of the questions and where you arrived at the cost there for the recommendation there, one of the recommendations for $2,100. So basically, at the city's expense, mailing out the notice, there's the cost of printing those, compiling those, postage, mailing all that out, just for the notice. And then as far as you kind of worked out from a past experience on, total cost, whether or not the inspector goes out and looks at it, the amount of time because of the project, it's really, you know, not a whole lot of hours. So you were able to kind of balance, hey, here's a fairly accurate cost recovery number that you came up with.
I'm not saying that's probably the minimal cost,
yeah,
to get something in front of the Planning Commission at a public hearing.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That's all the questions I have. With that, Janice, come on up. Thanks for waiting.
Hello, Janice Peters, Morro Bay, and board member of By the Sea Productions. First of all, I just want to tell you, we're very grateful to the Planning Department for the way they did process our permit and everything else. It was very efficient, very quick, because we kind of did it after the fact. And it's been very successful so far. We've had very happy audiences and nice houses. But nobody goes into community theater to make money. It just doesn't happen. We had 67 people our first weekend, which resulted in $1,460 in ticket sales. We had 70 people our second weekend, which was $1,000. That doesn't come out right. About this, a little bit more. No, I know why, because we had some comps there, $1,385. And then the third weekend, just estimating based on those other two, say $1,400 that we'll make this third weekend, which comes out to a grand total of $4,245. 15% of that goes to the church. They get 15% of our ticket sales, so that's $637. $900 goes to royalties, because we have to pay $300 a weekend for the royalties. That takes a profit down to $2,708. Doesn't count the $400 a month rent that we pay to the church, $400 in advertising, $350 to our director. That's the only paid person. The board is not paid. Our directors are paid. $500 to build a set, yada, 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 yada. Comes out to, if we're lucky, we'll make $900 on this show. So, as I said, nobody goes into community theater to make money. We do it because we love it and because we wanted to bring this to Morro Bay. It's something that this community has needed and wanted for a long time. So we are happy to do it, and not looking to make money. So I really appreciate the reduction that they have already put forward for you. Of course, we would like it to be less. But if you do go for that $2,100, we would ask that perhaps we can pay it in three increments. We're having three main shows and then four readers' theaters. The readers' theaters we only charge $10 for, and they only run one weekend. So we don't make money on those at all. That's just a community service, really, because it brings in plays that normally you would not see staged. They're unique. They're different. So we feel it is definitely an artistic advantage to the community. But if we could pay the fee based on each of our three full-length plays, that would be really helpful. It would break it up for us, give us some operating money for our next show. If you want to be more generous than that, we would certainly be grateful. And I hope you'll all come see the show, because it really is good. And I'm happy to answer any questions if you have them about that.
Thanks, Janice. Any questions from council? None? Okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you,
Janice. Discussion. Marlis?
Want me to go first?
Sure.
Okay, all right. Well, I'll tell you, I am in favor of waiving the fee. And I'm going to tell you why. I actually consider this an investment in economic development. Because as Red Davis pointed out at the very beginning, when people come here, they say, well, what is there to do? Where should I go? What can I visit? What we're lacking in this town are those kind of venues that people can enjoy, whether you're a tourist or you live here. So I'm so glad that we have a community theater now that is something for people to do, to go to see. And so I recognize there isn't precedent, perhaps, for waiving a fee, but I think about how we're willing to give a dollar lease to the aquarium and the Maritime Museum. And that's because it's bringing content, good content, to our city that people will enjoy and that is a benefit to the community as a whole. So that's my position.
Thanks, John.
Thank you, Scott, for that. And I'm going to disagree with my colleague. I very much support community theater. I agendized this, and I'm very happy to. I think there is a significant community benefit. But also great educational opportunities for our kids. And that is another piece of this, too. I think it might be appropriate to just consider charging hard costs, like noticing, and the environmental piece, and limit it to that, and waive the remainder of the fee. That limits significantly the cost to the theater group, and I think is a fair trade-off on fees. So that would be my recommendation.
Thanks, Matt.
Well, I definitely see the public benefit of this, so I totally agree with you, Marlis. Scott, do you have any idea what, as John's suggestion, hard costs? I mean, I understand your $2,100 number. Is there any bare minimum that would recover what the city has paid in terms of?
I think, but Councilmember Henning was just referring to is specifically the noticing fee and the environmental fee, which is $398 total. Beyond that, you know, you're talking about time spent, and I don't have those numbers.
Okay. Well, with that said, I think I agree with John. Marlis, I totally agree with your point in terms of fee reduction or getting rid of the fee. But however, in terms of in the public benefit, I totally agree with. But in terms of the city giving something in terms of the human cost and the labor, but then the hard cost, I'd like to recoup that.
Red.
I agree. I really like to have the live theater here in Morro Bay. It's one more thing that differentiates us from other communities and makes us better than other communities. But I also see the need to be fair and equitable to everyone who does business in Morro Bay and also to the taxpayers of Morro Bay. Council at one time directed Scott to recover 100% of the cost for issuing planning and building fees, and Scott determined what that amount is. It's $5,706. And the council adopted a master fee schedule that says that that's the cost of a special use permit. The production company looked at several sites in the city, and they either cost too much or they were not zoned for theatrical productions. But they eventually did settle in a place that is not zoned for theatrical productions and began operating. So after Scott contacted them and told them that they were not conforming, then the company applied for the permit and the business license. We don't have a policy for reducing or waiving permit fees. So when I look for guidance for this request, I only see one policy. That is that the council directed community development to recover 100% of the costs involved in issuing a fee. So I don't see any way to grant the request. I feel that to govern effectively, we need to follow policy. We need to know what we're doing and why we're doing it, and that's what policy does. Without a policy, then process is not predictable, and our decisions are arbitrary and capricious. And where does it stop? We have a lot of nonprofit organizations in this community who provide community benefit. So if we grant reductions or waivers one at a time, do they begin to line up and come to us? My feeling is that the production company willingly and voluntarily placed itself into a non-conforming use, a position where they required a special use permit. They're in business and they are producing income. So I have to ask, why should they not pay a fee that was established and adopted by the council through public process? If we don't require that fee, then we're making a gift of public funds, and I just can't do that. So I cannot in good conscience vote to waive or reduce the fee. So.
Great, Red, thank you. I was looking at all this. I mean, I think all of us are happy to have the theater, Janice. It's great to have it. When first looking at this, definitely wanted to make sure that the noticing fees, environmentals, those hard costs were recovered. I think that's appropriate. I also was, pleased to look at, okay, well, $2,100 is what I kind of, Scott, with your input, kind of reconciled this. I think there's when we approve the fee schedule of 5706, I think there's some understanding that, sometimes projects will go through at less than that, and then there's some projects that continue and keep going and going and going, and they're only charging, we're only paying the 5706, even if they've gone to the Planning Commission three times and then appealed to council. So we, it doesn't necessarily cover all that. Sometimes it hits it, sometimes it doesn't, and it's a kind of a target. So I realize that. And Red, I sure appreciate your description of, what our responsibilities are. I was willing to discuss all of these with council, and I'm not sure Red and I are necessarily. Going to end up on the right side of this, but I think one thing that we are unanimous is having the theater in Morro Bay, and so that's a good thing. How we get through the rest of it, we'll go ahead and visit how the vote. I was more inclined to consider the $2,100 fee myself because I felt as though, you can't really establish that's a cost recovery. And in some instances, that is the latitude of council to take those on. We do set policy, but we have the ability to consider something that's brought forward. So for me, that's where I was in recovering that. But I'm not going to be supporting just the noticing environmental. And, you know, had there been more support to the full cost recovery, I probably could have jumped on and supported Red on his position. But that's where I stand. So at this point, without any other conversation, I'll just go ahead and take a motion.
Mr. Mayor, may I just add a comment, just yes, so the record's clear for me? And I know that the words that were used weren't used in the same way that I probably heard them. But when a gift of public funds language is used, I want to make sure that the council understands that the council has flexibility to determine what benefits the city may be receiving by giving up the fee if the council decides to. So,
and
if the council
we do that.
Right. And if the council decides to give up collecting all the fees or none of the fees or whatever, it wouldn't be a gift of public funds from the legal perspective.
Thanks for clarifying that. Appreciate that. Okay. So I'll take a motion on that.
I will move that we charge fees to collect the hard costs, which would be the noticing and environmental. Thank you. I can't read from this angle.
Yeah. Second.
So we have a motion by Marlos to recover the hard cost fees, which would be the noticing and environmental, and a second by Mr. Heading. So any further discussion?
Could we clarify that amount of money that you are requesting is $398?
That's what it is.
$398.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
No. Motion carries 3-2. Red and myself were no. Okay. All right. Thanks, Janice. With that, we'll move on to our next item, is item C4. We're doing good tonight, folks. Yeah, we're doing great. Item C4 is discussion and direction of Washington, D.C. Representative for Water Reclamation Facility Project, and this will be Mr. Buckingham.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. The purpose of this item is for the council to discuss and give direction on retaining professional representation and advocacy in Washington, D.C., focused on funding support for the WRF project. Our recommendation is that you direct staff to negotiate a short-term 60-day contract to develop a federal agenda and work plan to support efforts to gain federal grant and loan support for the WRF. Alternative A is to direct staff to negotiate a longer-term retainer agreement to build a federal agenda and begin to advocate for the city and to provide federal grant writing assistance to support the WRF project. Or the council could direct staff to release a request for proposals for federal representation related to grant and loan advocacy for the project. Fiscal impact, option one, a 60-day federal agenda building, about $5,000 to $6,000 to do that. Option two, to bring an advocate on retainer, will be about $4,000 to $5,000 a month. And either of these would be funded from the sewer enterprise fund, the WRF fund, not from the general fund. So a quick background: the total project cost, as you know, is in the $150 million range. Kestrel Consulting, who is our project grant consultant, they are proving worthwhile. They successfully helped us get a $75,000 grant for the project so far, and more importantly, were key in helping us attain or get the $10 million State Revolving Fund Planning Loan. That said, Kestrel's experience is more at the state level, not at the federal level. The new administration in Washington is, there's serious talk going on about infrastructure funding in Washington. And now with a complete project, i.e. we have a facility master plan and the EIR is nearing completion, this is the right time to be advocating for project funding. City representation for dredging funding, as you talked about with CMANC, is crucial, and it pays off. Our trip to Washington and our annual dues to CMANC resulted this year in about $7 million worth of dredging. And the council agendized this discussion on retaining representation in Washington, D.C., because presumably you thought that this was an important thing to discuss. A little more background. The Ferguson Group is a proven water advocate for California cities. They specialize, and the only thing they do is local government, advocating for local government, and they specialize in water projects. The group continues to represent SLO County, and in many of these grant and loan opportunities, a regional approach is a positive thing. The group was key in the Los Osos project funding and legislation. They were critical, actually, in one element, and provided important support in a number of elements, including, and we'll sort of relate to this in a minute, including getting the loan rate on the substantial loan for their project, which is a USDA loan, reduced several times. The city manager and the project manager met with Ferguson representatives in Sacramento when we were up there in January, and I briefed you on that. The mayor and a couple of staff, Rob Livick, again, the program manager, and myself met with Ferguson rep in Morro Bay several weeks ago. Based on Ferguson's demonstrated expertise, staff asked Ferguson for a sample proposal to provide to the council, to really provide you an option to move a little more quickly on this, because of the action that's going on in Washington right now. And the mayor and myself and the harbor director will be in D.C. next week for our harbor dredging and advocacy. And as part of that, we've got meetings with Senator Feinstein's staff and with Representative Carbajal's staff, in addition to other folks. So a discussion, the Ferguson Group proposal has two options. Option one is a two-month assessment and work plan development. I really call that a survey of the opportunities. And option two is a longer-term retainer that can be terminated at any time. The assessment will provide a good assessment and will help us better measure the potential benefits of representation. The retainer would result in that assessment and would result in immediate representation or advocacy on our behalf for federal funding. The potential return on an investment is significant. For example, the two-year cost for the retainer option would be about $125,000. If we ended up with some sort of a federal loan, and as we discussed in January, the state revolving fund funds are limited, and it may be, and in fact, the state water folks in Sacramento recommend that we go and look for other options for funding. A 0.25% rate reduction in our construction loan would equate to $7.5 million. So if, for example, we had a USDA loan, it was negotiated at 3%, and Ferguson Group or another representative helped us negotiate that down to 2.75%, that would result in about a $7.5 million savings on the life of the project, and that's precisely what they were able to do with the Los Osos project. Grants could be in the $1 million range to $5 million range to perhaps more. Bottom line is the two-year cost of $125,000 for effective representation in Washington, D.C. Could pay off quite significantly. So finally, a little bit of analysis. If the council wants to better assess the possible benefits of D.C. representation, you could direct us to enter an agreement with Ferguson Group for the 60-day assessment. If council believes that the benefits of D.C. representation are obvious, you might just direct us to enter an agreement for the retainer option and bring Ferguson Group on and start advocating for us. Or if the council believes an RFP process will result in a better offer, then you could do the 60-day assessment now, and we could go out for an RFP. I just note here that based on the costs associated with the proposal, in my experience and a little bit of research and analysis, it's unlikely that we're going to that an RFP is going to result in a substantially cheaper or less expensive level of representation. And I was doing some more homework on Ferguson Group last night. Their reputation is very, very good. In fact, extremely good. Especially in representing local governments, and especially for water projects. I don't think we'll find somebody better. One of the quotes in The Hill, which is the newspaper of Capitol Hill, is that the Ferguson Group, quote, wrote the book on representing local governments. So recommendation, you can direct us to enter a short-term agreement with Ferguson Group for the two-month assessment, or you might want to consider directing us to negotiate for that longer-term representation. Again, you can cancel that at any time. If after 2 months we don't like the product, then we can cancel it. Or you could direct staff to release a request for proposals for either long-term representation or for a short-term assessment.
Great, thanks. Thanks, Mr. Buckingham. And with that, we'll turn over to questions. And Red, you want to start us off with questions? We don't have anybody left in the audience, and it's a good hour too. But we don't have any public speakers left because nobody's here. But Red, maybe you can start us off with questions.
I guess I wonder why you are bringing forward the Ferguson Group instead of somebody else. Is it because you had the personal contact with them, and how did that come about?
I can elaborate as well. I mean,
I'll say from so a good question is why are we here with one proposal, mm-hmm. And the answer to that is to give you options to begin moving now. Instead of developing an RFP, having a 45-day soak period for an RFP, evaluating that, and coming back to you in 3 months. So that's why I wanted to give you the shorter-term option with Ferguson Group that says we can get started now for 60 days and release an RFP for representation. So that's the reason you see one proposal in front of you. The reason you see one from Ferguson Group is they have an exceptional reputation. They have a relationship with SLO County. Our checks with SLO County is that they do an exceptional job. I was introduced to them last year when the mayor and I were in Washington, and I met with the SLO County folks who were in Washington at the same time, and they said, hey, here's this guy, Ferguson Group, you guys should meet him. And at that point, we weren't ready to start this process. And then when Mike and I were in Sacramento a month ago doing water funding outreach, we had an opportunity to meet them again and said, A, not only is this the right time, but this sure seems like a right group. And I'll let the mayor expand on that.
Yeah, so thanks. I was introduced to the Ferguson Group through the county 4 years ago. For all the reasons that the county had success with their project that was laid out in this project. So I did some my own research and outreach, never met Mr. Miller until this most recent part, had actually agendized this item like the first year of the WRF to start the process of all this. And there wasn't support at that time from council to do that. Likely, hey, the timing's not right. And, you know, that's fine. I mean, it could have been, you know, we could have started this process earlier and been at the same place. Doesn't matter. So that's, you know, that's my background. And at one point, Mr. Miller had sent kind of this condensed version of this low-cost contract, kind of an outline. you know, had that discussion, but never got, you know, support from council to, you know, address that. So that was my interaction with the Ferguson group, primarily because of the success with the County of San Luis Obispo. So, you know, explored that, and then Mr. Buckingham explained the other part of the story, and here we are. So, you know, it's just a good discussion point. Yep. Yeah, thanks.
I do have a question. Reading the report, lay it out, makes sense. So how would we pay for it now? The two-month retainer would cost us, what would it be, $12,000?
No, five to six total.
For the 2 months.
Per month.
For the 2 months.
Correct.
And then essentially it'd be $60,000 to $65,000 a year if we just went to the contract.
To the retainer.
So would we pay for that out of general fund, knowing that we'd be paying for it out of pocket now until we secure further funding? I understand your reasoning in here.
No, we have sufficient funds in the sewer enterprise fund.
Got it.
To pay for all of this now.
Got it. Okay, that's all my questions.
Okay, thanks. John?
Thank you, Mr. Buckingham, for the presentation. I kind of heard what the mayor said historically about the city. I guess I didn't know that Kestrel was only representing us at the state level. So that was new for me, and maybe I just missed that. And my first question is, why didn't we think we needed a federal advocate 6 months ago? A year ago? How was it? I mean, you met them a year ago.
So,
or you met them.
I think what
ago.
I said is that Kestrel's expertise is in state level things, not federal level things. They could certainly represent us, but they're not as that's not their forte. As the mayor said, the council considered a federal representation 3 or 4 years ago, and the at that time, the time wasn't right. We didn't have a project, we didn't have a location, all those things. A year ago, when I met Ferguson Group, thought this is something that we should think about at the right time. In my estimation, this is the right time. Again, just like with the state funding, you don't get an infrastructure project funded when it's a hope. You get one funded when there's a facility master plan, and normally when the EIR is actually complete. And actually, if you look in some of those federal projects that were in one of the attachments, some of those are already in progress of construction where they're looking to fund them. So essentially, my estimation, this was the correct time to start looking at the federal side. Also, and it's encouraged, maybe not the best word, but additional emphasis because there is not a significant amount of money at the state level for for water grants right now.
Yeah. And so it's been your assessment now that Kestrel is not an effective representative doing the same things that Ferguson could do at the federal level?
Can I comment on that?
Absolutely.
I just have a question. I was looking over for Rob. He's not here, yeah. But I was thinking about that because Kestrel came on more from a grant expertise. They were evaluating that part, not a water expertise. So I think that was more the Kestrel portion of it. So those are my comments on that. Maybe you can elaborate a little bit more, Dave. But I you know, Kestrel came in and did the whole grant analysis initially during the WR project, and that was more of their focus and expertise, not necessarily water. And to my understanding, I don't know what their expertise is at the federal level, but that's what I recall.
Why I was asking. Yeah. I guess my bottom line question is, are we going to offset some funds that we might pay Kestrel and make those available to pay this group? Because we would have used them for something similar.
I'm not sure. So the city brought Kestrel on before I was here also. I think it was my second month here when they made their initial, the first presentation I saw in November, December of 14. I can go back and look more clearly, but my general assessment or understanding is that Kestrel is focused on, is mostly, their expertise is at the state level. We had them looking primarily at state grants, at the SRF loans from the state. They're a West Coast, Washington State, Northern California firm. And perhaps we didn't consider or budget for any really federal help or think toward federal funding. And honestly, 2 years ago, federal funding was less likely than it could be now, although it could be helpful for Los Osos, but that was in a county, and USDA works in counties, less than cities.
Would this group be under the purview of the project manager? And would there be increased costs from their standpoint in terms of that oversight?
No.
Thank you. That's all the questions I have.
Thanks. Marlos?
I just have a single question. I was looking at their scope of services generally, and I didn't see anything specifically related to what we're asking them to do if we take your option A, which is to have them do an agenda building and an advocacy plan. So can you give me some sense of what that would consist of, a needs and opportunities analysis, deliver a federal agenda with a work plan? What would that look like?
The needs and opportunities analysis is to look at our project, to identify the facets of our project that would be, to understand those, then to match those up with opportunities, with federal opportunities. If there is infrastructure, if there's infrastructure emphasis on recycled water, on strategic retreat, on whatever the opportunities are, and try to match those things up and say, here's your project, here's the federal opportunities that are out there, and then here is the agenda for working to bring those opportunities to the project. That would be the agenda building, and then the advocacy plan would be, here's specifically how we're going to advocate for your project. We're going to visit Congressman Carbajal with the mayor and Mr. Buckingham next week.
But that might be outside the scope of this first phase, is that correct? The initial phase is just building the work plan, not actually going out and doing any kind of advocacy on our behalf, or might be.
Yes, but I am 100% sure that should we go for the two-month option, that that somebody from the Ferguson group would be happy to spend time with us next week. And on Monday, we're meeting again with Senator Feinstein's office and Carbajal's office, and I'm quite confident they would have somebody helping us with that.
Okay, that's my question.
I don't think I have any questions. We don't have any public comments, so discussion at this point. To my left, to my right, any first starters here? John?
I think it's absolutely imperative that we do this. I think the return on investment will be significant. I vetted the group as best as I could with the information you gave me and what I could look up about them. I like what they did in the county and the fact that they know the county and the results that they've gotten for both the county and for Los Osos County. And I think time's of the essence for you guys to have them there with you this coming week. And so I am fully in support of this. Sounds like both the mayor as well as you have vetted the group, feel that they are the group to go with rather than wasting time on an RFP. I would submit that, again, it's a really a minimal cost for the potential significant return on the investment. So I highly support it.
Thanks, John. Marlos?
Yeah, I would also support it, but I think I'm talking about the option A, which is the short-term engagement and see what we get from that, so developing the work plan, not engaging in the long-term consultant contract that might go on for 1 or 2 years at this point.
At this point, got it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Matt?
I think in terms of the history and the vetting process, I would be prepared to go with the second option and not necessarily the first, in terms of go for the long-term yearly contract.
Red?
Yes, I'm ready to jump in as well for the long term.
Okay, so just to be clear, so we've got support. I just want to make sure where we're at. So I've got support for the short-term effort. Support for long-term. Support for long-term. Okay. I'm in support. I was ready to take, you know, the first step, you know, the initial short step with that. You know, bottom line is I'm just support with keep moving forward. So I wouldn't object to not supporting this at this point. So anyway, I'd take a motion.
Okay, I would got to get my note back here, sorry. I would let me get my pardon me.
You know what? Let me restate my comment because basically going all in on the long term is what I got from John, Matt, and Red. And I guess just to be clear, interested in support of going forward. I guess the other option was moving forward and then releasing the RFP is what is the long-term option, or just stepping right into the long-term approach based on the staff report. I just want to understand what the questions were.
The alternative one on page 441.
So basically just jump right in, negotiate the long-term with the Ferguson Group, still relatively low cost, but build a federal agenda and advocacy for the city. So that could be the...
It's A up on the board.
I'll read it. I would move that the city that we direct staff to negotiate a longer-term retainer agreement with the Ferguson Group for as low a cost as possible to build a federal agenda, advocate for the city to provide federal grant writing assistance to support the WRF project according to the fiscal impact outlined in the staff report.
Okay, we have a motion.
I second that.
Motion by Mr. Heading, a second by Mr. Davis. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Okay, great. And then... with that, we've completed item C4, and we're moving on to council declaration of future agenda items. Any discussion at this point? Seeing none, our next meeting will be a special city council workshop tomorrow, Wednesday, March 1st, and that is discussing marijuana, and it's going to be at 4 p.m. at the community center at the multipurpose room, and we could adjourn. And our next regular city council meeting will be held Tuesday, March 14th, 2017 at 6 p.m. right here at the Vets Hall. And we can adjourn the meeting. Thank you.
Note the time, please, Mr. Mayor.